the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Happy Tuesday. So, Kevin, the Robbie Gold news, I'm not sure how to interpret this. I just heard what you said. He pulled his contract proposal worth a reported $5 million and wants to be traded. Mm-hmm. A family decision, and his family lives here, right?
Aha!
Aha! Am I connecting the right dots here? What's happening?
You said it all. Yeah. The 49ers decided they were going to franchise tag Robbie Gold. Then Robbie Gold countered. He said he wanted a long-term contract, not a one-year thing with the 49ers. And then...
makes him think that we need him here?
Yeah, right. Off-season workout program start, and he's a no-show at the 49ers camp. And
what?
Today he's told them he wants out. He wants to be traded and be closer to his family in Chicago. You can hear that double doink all the way out in San Francisco.
And then the owner there is saying, no, we'll have him for sure. He's going to be
here. Well, John Lynch, the general manager, had come out before and said, we expect Robbie to be a part of the team for
the long term. I'm going to lodge a formal protest. CLTV is showing video of Robbie Gold kicking goals.
Better than watching the double doink.
It's going down the middle. It's going down the middle.
And that is not what I'm playing on the radio here. It's Robbie Gold's going through the middle, and then I'm doing this.
Yes.
I don't think that's working.
It's a nice mix, I think. Okay. So we'll see.
Weird.
You know, Bears have signed three guys who really don't have much experience at all or any experience in the pros, and Robbie Gold has all the experience in the pros. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, because like you said, Anna, the 49ers have come out publicly and said they want to keep him. They don't want him to go anywhere. So you got to wonder what the asking price for a kicker is going to be. But I think this might be the first time in NFL history a kicker has demanded a trade. Right? I mean, normally it's like a diva receiver, cornerback, maybe a running back. There's a kicker. And he's demanding a trade, which I don't think I've ever seen before. But
John Lynch, who was one hell of a football player,
right?
I mean, John Lynch in his prime was as great a DB as you could imagine.
Mm-hmm.
He's a pretty smart guy, and you know that San Francisco management's pretty smart. They get that the Bears really have only one need. We mentioned it yesterday on the radio, actually on the internet, because after 5:30, like yesterday, as it will be today, the White Sox start. So we continue on at WGNRadio.com or on the WGN app or WGN on TuneIn or any of those places. You just ask for it, and we'll pop up on. The show continues. It's a wilder show. Limited commercial interruptions, and the show gets a little bawdy and a little wild, and oh my God.
That's known to happen, for sure.
Lou Cannellis took a shirt off in the middle of the show yesterday. It was weird. And so there was a moment yesterday where we were talking about this that, you know, this is a really desperate moment. As Lou pointed out, there's only one need on this team. One. Mm. And all the positions are good to great. That's which is such a rarity and a luxury for this franchise,
right. Except
for, and I argue, a very important one. I think you know, it's one of those things that's overlooked. If you don't have a good kicking game, you are, like, you know, as we saw, you are totally, and let me just quote the President of the United States, you're completely...
You are. We saw it last year with the Bears, obviously, in the playoffs, and even really the whole season. You never really had trust in Parkey, so... I just wonder what the asking price is going to be. And the Bears don't have a lot of ammunition in the draft pick department. I don't know what you're going to give up for a kicker.
Work?
Also a guy they got rid of. Ryan Pace is the guy who got rid of Robbie Gold. So how much is he willing all of a sudden to pay to get a kicker back?
I think Ryan Pace has proven that he's not infallible. Right?
Yeah.
Because getting rid of him was a dumb move. I know that he had that one missed kick. Was it in Detroit, I think, right?
He was coming off a bad year, probably the worst year of his career.
Right.
And he was getting paid a lot. He was the highest paid kicker at the time in the NFL.
Because he deserved it.
But he was the all-time leading scorer for the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Parkey is not.
No. He didn't come close.
I just want to play that. You know what? I want to send that video of the Spanish language version. The Philadelphia Spanish language version of the football game, uh-huh, of the NFC, whatever, what was that, wild card divisional game. I would like to send that to Ryan Pace.
La temporada está en el pie de Cody Parkey. 43 yardas. El snap, le mete el pie. Distancia, dirección, le dio el poste. No, falló. Oh. No, señor. No, señor. No, señor.
I honestly think this is me in my apartment when I watch the game. It's true. It speaks for all of us somehow. I don't know how.
I'll never forget the sound of Soldier Field when that happened.
You were in mourning. I mean, you were like, really?
I mean,
really?
That just made my stomach turn listening to that whole clip.
I was running for my car.
Right.
I was running through the parking lot before somebody told me, hey, we did, because I was standing right there, and it hit the door, and I thought it went in, because everybody jumped up in front of me, and they're like, oh, it went in, and I ran, and then I was to the parking lot before I realized they lost.
I mean, from a certain angle, from your angle, and from a lot of angles, it looked like it went in.
Yeah, I was right there.
But nope, double doink parking.
Oh, at a jump in the air moment, fist high in the air, and then crumbled down to the knees.
Into the fetal position.
Jaw dropped. Just in awe. But he says he wants to come closer to home, and we have a texter who says that we're sure he's not going to the Packers.
Well, it doesn't necessarily mean he's coming. That's really what the report says.
I'm good with that. I'll take Robbie.
Oh, shut up! Oh, come on!
Oh,
would you turn
her
microphone off in moments like this? Here you go, Ryan Pace.
And only hits it upright again. Oh. That's impossible.
Green Bay, you can have Parky.
Remember, that was
no thanks.
That was the Detroit game here.
Oh,
where Parky hit the upright three or four times or whatever.
Four times.
Not even possible. Not even mathematically or geometrically possible. And it happened. All right, I got to go.
Yeah, that's stressful.
Right.
Thinking about that.
Ben Bradley is going to join us here in just a few minutes. And then we're going to talk to the police officers who delivered an Easter baby. All of that. But first, let's find out from Kim. What's happening in the news?
Oh, she's all distracted now, talking about her Packers.
Are going to win the Super Bowl. What else do you want to know?
Yeah, well, we know that's not true. Fake news! Fake news!
I don't ever give fake news. The Cook County State's Attorney's Office agreeing to a special prosecutor in a case involving Kim Fox and a community activist. Then there's this. Watch for Chicago's very own stories with Micah and Joe. Micah Mater, Joe Donlin, weeknights on WGN TV News at 9 o'clock.
Ben Bradley joins us right now for the WGN TV newsroom.
Good afternoon. Nice to be with you guys.
Ben, always on the CLTV version of this show. If you could watch it now on CLTV if you'd like as well. We prefer you listen to the radio, but, you know, what do we do? What do we know?
Mm-hmm.
Ben prefers you watch CLTV. Ben strikes a superhero pose, always during his moments.
Worth checking that out.
Yeah. He puts his hands on his hips, and he wears a cape during this, which I think is kind of weird.
No, it's just an awkward position. I'm standing in the middle of the newsroom. This is crunch time, you know, 40 minutes before the newscast. Everyone's trying to work hard. And here I am standing, basically talking to myself in the middle of the newsroom. And when I say something that's stupid, I just can actually see everyone else in the newsroom roll their eyes at me.
Because they don't have time for this crap.
Yes,
they're
exactly.
On deadline. We're crashing.
You know? When I'm talking about the stories coming up, and they're like, oh, no, that's not in the four, that's in the five. Why is he talking about it?
I know.
Oh.
Never say anything out loud in a newsroom. You know that rule?
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't ever scream anything out loud in a newsroom unless it's the boss telling you what's going on or you're fired. Because people will put that in their script whether they mean it or not.
It is funny, though, because you can hear in the newsroom, like, when something goes wrong on the air, like, you know, if we dip to black or the, you know, graphics, you can actually hear, like, a collective, in the newsroom, you know, when somebody gets something wrong.
Right. When Ben inverts a couple of words. I meant not guilty.
Did I say, I forgot the not. Is that going to be a problem?
All right. So what is happening, may I ask? Because I think we're in the middle of all of this news cycle as well. And we are going to have some of these newsmakers on with us today as well. But what do you have coming up?
Coming up today at 4, we just got a hold of the police reports detailing officers' visits to the home of the Crystal Lake home of the 5-year-old who's been missing for nearly a week now. And, boy, the police narratives of their visits just describe a squalor of a home. Their officers note the smell of feces. They say that there was such an overwhelming odor in the room shared by the two children. And, in fact, one of these visits occurred on December 18th of 2018, and DCFS was contacted, but DCFS looked into allegations of abuse or neglect against the mother on that day and found it to be unfounded. So despite officers really detailing terrible living conditions inside this home, in that particular instance from December of 2018, DCFS did not see a significant problem. Now, DCFS was involved with this family over the years, really right after AJ, the missing boy, was born in 2013. He was born with opiates in his system. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. He was removed from the home for a while in 2013. 2015 returns back to the home. Today, his mother, who is not cooperating with police, was scheduled to appear in court on two different matters, one involving an outstanding warrant for her related, I believe, to a traffic issue. The other was she was going to court to argue that she should get custody back of her other son. DCFS removed that son after AJ went missing. Today, this hour, we believe she is asking a judge to give her custody of that child back.
And what about the father? What do we know about him?
So the father has been talking with police. There were some questions about how cooperative he had been, but he hasn't been involved in some search efforts. You know, this home was certainly not your traditional home. There had been apparently problems between the mother and father. The mother, AJ's mom, is now pregnant by another man. As we indicated, there were drugs in AJ's system when he was born. So, these were not ideal living conditions by any stretch of the imagination, but the parents still denying they did anything wrong. And for the first time, we're actually hearing the 911 call made the morning that AJ disappeared. It sounds like it was his father calling in, talking about how they had looked around the house, how they looked in local parks, how they had called the school. No sign of AJ.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. This story continues. And a little bit later on, we are going to be having, coming up after 4 o'clock, we're going to have the attorneys for the Osundero brothers.
Ah, yes.
Ola and Bola.
That's not their names.
It is. It's their name.
I thought it was Ola and Abel.
I think they're calling them Ola and Bola.
Oh.
Yeah. Ola and Bola.
You better figure that out before the attorney's on, because you don't want to be the latest to be hit with a defamation lawsuit.
I got that directly from their publicist.
So oh, they have a publicist
they have,
now.
Yeah, they
I've
have
seen
a publicist.
It in news reports differently, but maybe they have several first names.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think they're the. I think this is the softer, friendlier Ola and Bola.
Yes.
You know, that's because they've got new headshots where they're wearing polo shirts and smiling and they're looking like guys that you'd hire to come in and help you work out. Which is exactly what they're what they say. That's what they were there for.
And they do accept checks. We know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
they'll provide meal planning.
So that's what we're gonna talk to them about what's going on. They are now suing Jussie Smollett. And Kim Fox is having a hell of a week, isn't she?
Sure.
She's
sure
really
is.
Having a moment.
So she's getting death threats and will not appear before the Cook County Board until the IG is finished with its investigation.
Right. The Inspector General is not just investigating this. There's another case, too, whether she got into whether she should be involved in the prosecution of a guy that she took a selfie with.
Mm-hmm. A smiling selfie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't just a, this guy kind of. They appeared at the same press conference, at this Rainbow Push press conference that Jesse Jackson held when Kim Fox was under fire for her handling the Smollett case.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So this will be, the third case that she's got a conflict on?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know what she has a conflict on? The Office. I think she would make a very fine appointee to some campaign along the way, and then maybe she becomes president, the special assistant to a president. Maybe she could be the Attorney General of the United States. I would like to suggest that to her. What she should not be is the Cook County State's attorney.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how the Democratic Party handles this, right? Because Kim Fox was Tony Preckwinkle's pick. She was her chief of staff. Preckwinkle, the boss of the Cook County Democratic Party. Will Preckwinkle get behind Fox?
Can I ask you a question? Can I just ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
So what you're asking is... Tony Preckwinkle, who is the president of the county board and the head of the Democratic Party of Cook County, if she will use her sizable heft as a politician to get behind Kim Fox. Are you talking about the same Tony Preckwinkle who barely broke 24.5% of the vote in the vote for the city of Chicago mayor's race?
That's such a great point, right? Because her power, her clout has been significantly diminished. But
I still think, to
believe it's going to be interesting to see whether or not she gives the green light for other quote-unquote loyal, credible Democrats to jump in and challenge Kim Fox. That's what I'm talking about here. Is, you know, will it be, you know, some kind of third tier challenger to Kim Fox, or will we see some big names?
I think I'm Kim Fox. I don't run again. I don't think it's going to help anybody if she runs again. I think we'll take a nice. If she doesn't resign, she could just work out the rest of her year and a half in office before she's got to go. Yes? No? I know. You're the newsman. You can't say it. I can say it. That would be I will take that as a middle ground. I am demanding that she resign immediately for just gross mopery. But on the if she doesn't do that, if she says, "Well, I got to stay in office till the end of my term." Fine. Isn't she up in 20?
She's up in 20.
All right, so that's it.
She has said that she's not going to step down.
She should.
What do you think of her strategy, though, refusing now to answer any questions about Jussie Smollett? This week, we asked her, after seeing some emails suggesting that her office was considering hiring a special prosecutor to investigate Smollett.
But they didn't.
And they now have taken this position, we're not going to answer any questions because the inspector general
is like the White House. To me, it's like when the White House says, the exact same thing. It's when the White House says, no, it's okay to take information from Russia. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay.
I think the better example is when Rod Blagojevich was under fire, one of his favorite responses is, I've already answered that. And I can remember chasing him through a gas station parking lot, like on 4th of July weekend, you know, and you'd ask about, you know, somebody, Tony Rezko or something, who had, you know, gotten caught with his hand in the cookie jar, and Blagojevich would say, that's a silly, I've already answered that.
Yeah,
and
you would go,
just tell me what the answer is. If it's so easy, tell me what the answer is.
One thing about covering Blagojevich, he had to be in good shape, because he was always running.
Yeah,
I chased him down an alley once, and he would beat you. That's why he's always on those jogging tours, you know?
Yes.
Remember, we used to see him in the jogging?
You know, Clinton used to do that, too. That's how Clinton would avoid the tough questions.
You could catch up to Clinton at the McDonald's.
Right, exactly. Good, sure.
All right, I gotta go. All right, thank you, Ben.
Yep.
We'll see you starting tonight at 4
Let's
o'clock.
Let's see the superhero pose one more time.
There you go. Truth, justice, and the Chicago way. Thank you, Ben Bradley.
Thanks, Ben.
The news with Kim Gordon, Packers fan. Coming up right after. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't it be?
Why not?
Coming up on the program, we're going to talk to the attorneys for the Asendero brothers who are now suing Jussie Smollett.
And his attorneys, they don't like it.
Yep.
Bashing their reputations and making up stuff, they say.
Yep. So they are going to be, the attorneys are going to be here. There's lots of attorneys.
They're sick of sitting back and watching lie after lie, fabrication after fabrication in the media.
I'm sort of sick and tired of it, too, myself.
Destroying our character.
And I'm a little sick of what's going on over the Cook County State Attorney's Office, too, but separate issue!
You've made that known.
A little separate issue. But that's not what we're talking about right now.
Let me
separate this out completely. Let's talk about a couple of hero Chicago police officers, shall we?
Yes.
Let's meet them right now. I think that's the most important thing that we can do because it makes me feel better about the world when I'm able to talk to these guys. Sean Hamill and Lawrence Nickerson are with us. And they just happened to be on Easter Sunday. They were working down on the south side at 70th and Cottage. Isn't that correct, gentlemen?
That is correct.
Yes, it is.
And a car pulls up, and there's a father and daughter in the car, and the daughter is pregnant, and she's about to have a baby, and they don't know what to do. You pick it up from there.
Yeah, so this is Officer Hamill. I was in my squad car, you know, at the side of the station, and I saw this black SUV driving on the sidewalk, so I'm like, what's going on here? So the grandfather now, he's like, officer, my daughter is having a baby. So then I came out of the car, radioed it in to request an ambulance, and then our partner heard the radio call and ran outside to, you know, assist me. And then, you know, some officer inside as well came out, you know, to help as well. So, you know, we delivered that baby. The umbilical cord was around the baby's neck.
Oh, man.
So we untangled it. And, yep, and then she started to cry. We're all like, it was a sign of relief.
Right, that is a sigh of relief. Are you both fathers? Have you assisted in births before, or is this totally new to you?
Officer Nickerson, I am a father, and I not so much assisted, but I was in.
You were there.
Yeah, you know what?
You were present.
All right, Lawrence. Let me agree with you on that. I mean, if somebody said, "Hey, did you assist?" I go, "Assist is a kind of a strong word."
Moral support, yeah, that helps.
I was
that
there, and you don't want to be too close to it because you're like, "Oh God, no, not that." But we've seen it before, right? But that doesn't. Are you guys trained in this?
It's no training that's involved for this. It was just kind of one of them. It's here right now. You know, let's figure this out, and you know, let's do the best job that we can. And all the officers that was involved. I mean, it was definitely a team effort. I don't think it could have been done without each part. You know, so everybody that you know helped. It was definitely a team effort. So. Everybody putting their little knowledge and skills to work definitely helped out.
Oh my God! So did you guys cut the umbilical cord? Or did you wait for a fire to get there?
We waited for fire.
Yeah. Okay.
Good choice. How was the mom doing during all this? Was she able to sort of? Was she communicating with you? Or what was happening there?
The mom was great, actually. I mean, she was. You know, it wasn't hysterical, and that's why I say that's. Like kind of where the other officers came in to play, you know, because they were all female, so they were able to kind of get her to, you know, relax and, you know, focus on her breathing. And, you know, so it was good. Definitely a plus to have them there to, you know, help with mom. And, you know, she was relaxed. She was not to have any pain meds and push that baby out.
God bless. Oh, gosh.
Do we know, was this her first baby, do we know?
It was.
Yeah, because I'd be freaked out.
That's the most painful.
Right? I mean, people who've had a number of babies, sometimes they wait till the... Sometimes they're like, all right, I'm going to get on the bus. I've already half given birth to this child, and I'll get to the emergency room on time. They know. But you know, first-time moms, it is such a freaky situation.
It is.
Oh, my God.
I had a 9-pound baby, waited too long for meds, and it is not
a
fun situation.
Oh,
but
God.
I was in a hospital environment, and, you know, thanks to you guys for being there and doing what you did, because this... Boy, it couldn't have been easy.
And then how long till fire got there after the baby was born?
A couple of minutes. You know, when you kind of doing it, it kind of seems like it's taking them forever, but like the lapse time was probably about 2 minutes.
Yeah, and then they were there, and then they were able to kind of pick it up from there. Wow. Wow. Well, thank God you guys were there. And it was, you know, it's interesting. They tell you not to, you know, drive to a fire station or a police station, you know, call 911 and wait for the fire department to get there. But people freak out. You know, they're like, they got to do something.
You're on the way. Yep. They were on the way to the hospital, weren't they, at the time?
They were. Yeah, they were.
They just didn't think they could get there.
All right. Well, here are two Chicago police officers doing exactly the right thing. And then all the rest, as you mentioned, all the other people who came out and they were, you know, standing in front of the station and everybody's helping out with that. But this is what, you know, this is what these guys do. Men and women do every single day of their lives. And it's worth taking the time to pause to reflect on what that job is really like, you know, for those of us who don't have that job and those of us who spend a lot of time talking about what police officers do.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that you know, this is part of the everyday life.
No question.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Appreciate you being with us.
Thank you both.
I thank you guys for taking the time out for us.
Of course. Always. Whenever you need it. You're here for us. We're here for you.
Thank you.
Chicago Police Department.
Thank you.
Lawrence Nicholson and Sean Hamill. Delivering a baby.
Oh, what a great story. And again, like you just pointed out, Ro, I mean, they don't say no. They don't say, oh, we can't do that. They have to just spring into action when somebody needs help, no matter what it is.
It's not that. Move along. Nothing to see here.
It's like, what do I do?
Yeah. No. Oh, my gosh. I mean, yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
You do.
Well, it's like those cops that, you know, created the human chain to get into the, you know, to get somebody out of the water.
During the polar vortex, that man who went in after his dog knew it was crazy, but he couldn't. His dog wasn't able to get out. He jumped in and knew he had minutes, pretty much, to live. They just got there and they used his dog leash in the spur of the moment decision to try to grab him out because his fingers were already numb. So they asked him to put it around his arm, and they just pulled him out of that water. How they thought to do the whole thing they did within critical minutes with nothing to spare, I don't know, but they did.
Problem solving. That's what it's about. Problem solving. All right. Thank you very much. Coming up, on the program. We're going to talk to, speaking of problem solving, the lawyers who are working for the Asendero brothers. Who are the Asendero brothers? They're Ola and Bola. The Asendero brothers, who are the people that Jussie Smollett says attacked them unprovoked. Attacked him unprovoked. I don't think so. I'm with the Asendero brothers here. I'm not quite sure how I'm with the Asendero brothers.
The facts sort of point to that.
Yeah. But that's kind of sort of where I'm feeling about this. So that's coming up a little bit later. That's coming up after 4 o'clock. And we also have coming up on the program a very interesting conversation about a new documentary that is coming out about Dick Biondi, the Chicago radio legend. If you're a radio person, you're not going to want to miss this. And a top five you won't believe. And then on the internet at 5:30, when we switch over to we're always on WGNRadio.com, but when we are exclusively on WGNRadio.com and the WGN app and all the places you can find us on the internet, Richard Roper gives you the first review of The Avengers Endgame. You're going to hear Lauren have a complete freak meltdown.
He's already been texting me about it. He's like, oh my God. I was like, stop. I'm so jealous.
So he's, now, wait a second. I don't think he's supposed to do that.
He's not telling her about. All he did was give me thumbs up.
Oh, he's not supposed to do that either. That sounds official. Mm. All right. Well, he'll be here. See, no,
he's mad. He told me first.
Then he's right. I am. So that, you know what? It'll be the second review of the movie then. Anyway, so it's going to be a big, big, big deal.
Yeah, sure
they
is.
They say it's going to break all the records for the biggest movie rollout of all times.
Beating Star Wars. Is that possible? Yeah. Wow. I know. I'm.
You're very conflicted about that or no? Do you think it should be?
I mean, it's hard to say. They have the leverage because they have more superheroes into this collection, whereas Star Wars is Star Wars. But, you know, hey, whatever. They're both.
That's true.
Great.
I guess you give a fan of everything. Everybody's. You could be a fan of, you know, Iron Man or Captain Marvel or whatever. And then you're in. You know, so that draws you. Don't have, or the what are the what's the one that looks like a raccoon? What are those guys?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Those guys. You know, that's
those guys.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you're like them, and so this brings everybody. This is no matter who, you know, where you come from. This brings you in.
I'm interested in this one.
All right.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Lauren is already in line. Lauren's calling us from in line for this film.
The rope says 6 a.m., but I don't listen.
All right. Let's tell you this. Also, I got a chance for you to win a pair of tickets to see the White Sox take on Boston on Thursday, May 2nd. And beforehand, you can join Kevin and Lauren live from Cork and Kerry starting at 3 o'clock, sponsored by CH Vodka. How about that?
Nice.
You like the sound of that? I like the sound of that.
Mm-hmm.
I like the sound of CH Vodka. I like the sound of Cork and Kerry. I'm like a little mad that they're going to be there. We're not going to be there.
We can stop by, can't we? Are we allowed?
Well, we have to be here.
Oh,
doing
that's not going to work out.
That's going to be a pair of tickets to see the White. There's Boston on Thursday, May 2nd at 7:10 p.m. All right. So that's coming your way. Stay close for that as well. All right. Now, we will tell you this. Well, actually, Kim will tell you what's coming up in the news.
President Trump won't be the only no-show at the White House Correspondents' Dinner this year.
Just in, the president met with CEO of Twitter, Jack Dorsey, in a closed-door meeting today.
How am I doing, Jack? I'm personally putting you on the map.
That's what he tweeted out. As many people saw, the best thing ever happened to Twitter is Donald Trump quoting Maria Bartiromo, letting him know where his bread is buttered.
Okay.
And that his 100 million followers maybe isn't enough because of the way they're doing something funky, according to the president. So he'll straighten that out.
His 100 million followers is not enough. He thinks that they're restricting the number of followers he's got. Is that what he's?
That's what he seems to be saying, that there's some things to work out about the way they, you know, police certain political viewpoints is what
he claims that they've got a liberal bias.
They don't treat me well as a Republican. Very discriminatory, hard for people to sign on, constantly taking people off the list. This is the president's tweet. Big complaints from many people. Different names, over 100 million should be
Okay. I guess he's got 60 million followers.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right.
There you go. He's meeting with Jack.
Right. Because he wants the Russian bots on his Twitter account.
Bring
makes him look
back.
Bigger. Right. He wants to buy some more.
Wait, you're telling me Trump is asking for 100 million followers? Does
yes.
he have a pinky up to his mouth when he says that?
Yes, that is exactly what he's asking for. And Jack Dorsey's like, okay, you know, like
now
I got.
I just need to get him a pet cat.
Yeah, I got like 2.5 billion people on this platform, but, you know, go blank yourself. Hey, Kim Gordon's got the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way in about 4 minutes. Can I mention something here,
sure.
too? That coming up on the program, we will be discussing the latest in the Robert Kraft story, which took another ugly turn today.
Oh, it did.
Another person has been charged for aiding and abetting Robert Kraft.
With her hands.
You didn't? Did you have to?
I just wanted to clarify.
You didn't have to clarify. There wasn't. No one was asking.
There weren't any follow-up questions at all. None.
Right.
Which is kind of how I handle all the Robert Kraft stories. It's just sort of like, all right, let's let that sit out there.
Presumably very soft hands.
But in a positive move, it looks like that video is not coming out.
That's true.
Anytime soon.
That's true. That is the...
This video is going to get out somehow, somewhere.
Don't you think?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, but for all the wrong reasons, I just don't want the right reasons bringing this video out. There's no reason. I think justice... And propriety and the ability for everybody to keep their lunch down is aided by the non-release of this video.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm generally for full disclosure and transparency and all the rest of that.
Not when it comes to the Brian Case special.
Yeah, but then not this one. I will stipulate. Yeah. That happened. He had his hands and he was lying on his back with his hands, clasped behind his head when all this happened. That's according to the people who've seen it. Oh, my God.
Too many descriptions.
I know, too many. We'll be back in 2 minutes. All right, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, here they are.
Mm-hmm.
It is a room full of people. It's a room full of lawyers.
Legal dream team.
That's normally how I like to handle these kinds of things. I as you know, I travel with a flying wedge of lawyers
you
at all
totally
times.
Totally do.
And now it turns out that none of these people represent me, and I would just like to point that out. That's the most important thing.
And hopefully you'll never see them in court.
Yes, I hope not. The Osandero brothers are, of course, the two guys that have been in the middle of this Jussie Smollett story. And, Jussie Smollett has the story. I'm not even sure what the story is anymore. And since the lawyers are here, I don't even know how I can categorize it without one of them saying, no, you're wrong, or threatening to sue. So I don't know. But here's one thing I know for sure. The Osandero brothers are now suing Jussie Smollett in federal court for misrepresenting what their participation was in this. No, that is... See, I told you it's not correct. I didn't even have that right. All right, well, let's just start. All right, well, who wants to... Gloria, you're the initial attorney on all of this, right? You've been with the Osandero brothers since the beginning of this story, right?
Yes, sir.
So why don't you explain exactly what's going on here?
Okay. So we have a dismissal of charges on Jussie's case, which, obviously was big news because we weren't expecting that. And for some reason, defense counsel for... Jussie didn't just take the W and go home. They spent their time handing out conspiracy theories like candy, and in the process defamed Ola and Abel, who have been keeping their nose clean this whole time. So is this how we treat witnesses for the state? And is this how we, is this how we conduct ourselves as attorneys in this profession?
Why haven't they been more outspoken? I think a lot of us would like to hear the outrage from them personally, since even the state's attorney's office is saying, look, the facts don't add up here. Jussie Smollett is responsible for that. Police are saying that. All the authorities, the mayor, the superintendent, everyone says Jussie's responsible for this. Why would the two men who Jussie's trying to say, or his lawyers are trying to say, are responsible, not come out and just say, look, this is nonsense?
Well, they have. They've done it to the people who count, which is the police and which is to the grand jury. And really, those are the main people they need to tell, and the press reports on what happens inside a courtroom. Now, they were ready and willing to cooperate and tell their side of the story in a court of law, but they got robbed of that chance with the dismissal. Mm-hmm. So right now, there's a lot of moving parts to their story, as you could tell from the introduction that we got. And when the time is right and when the venue is right, they will tell their story. But right now,
so you're suing the attorneys who came out, and Garagos, right, is what Mark Garagos from LA.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
One of the attorneys. He's had a number of attorneys over the over that.
Yeah,
Jussie Smollett did. He had, I think, by my count, total of six, maybe seven different attorneys over the period of time that all started.
And Garagos is a co-conspirator in that, is named as a co-conspirator in that Avenatti federal probe.
Yes.
So he's sort of got a little sidebarred.
Yeah, he's busy.
he had to hand off some duties.
Yeah, he's got some other things going, but there are two attorneys here that you're naming, right?
In this too specific, right. And the reason we were all shaking our heads no is because you said we were suing Jussie Smollett.
Right. I forgot to say apostrophe S attorneys. And that would be correct because I had that totally wrong. All right, so what how does, I suppose, as a Chicagoan who's incredibly frustrated by this entire case, mm-hmm. it appears very clear what happened here to me, and it does, I think, to the Chicago Police Department, and now the Cook County State's Attorney has just mucked this thing up in a way that is embarrassing to the city. It's embarrassing, I think, to the Chicago Police Department and to the people who are trying to do the right thing in this city, and it's sometimes not so easy to do, right? I mean, we all know that. We're from here. But I guess the question that I have is, what's an outcome here that can make us feel better as Chicagoans?
Well, we're going to get to the truth. I mean, that's the basic goal here, and have an open proceeding. Everything's been so closed, and the civil suit allows us to depose witnesses and basically get all the evidence necessary to prove up the case, and that's what we're really seeking, is exactly what happened. And at the same time, we're going to get, you know, Bola and Ola back to where they should be.
So but is it not possible that you could jam up those guys by getting to the bottom of this? Does it create a problem for them?
Jam them up? How?
Well, if they agreed to take part in a scam here, does that not jam them up?
I love that you asked me that. I want to tell you that.
Threw a softball.
Really, because this is the number one most confused point that I get asked, not publicly, but privately. And it's like, hey, listen, this is why. They did not conspire because they were not part of calling the police and defrauding the police. So if I were to say, hey, why don't I give you $5 and I have you pour bleach on me that you collect in a hot sauce bottle from your house, that's not a crime.
Or go out and buy the
do
tourniquet
all that,
or whatever.
All of that is not a crime. It may be weird.
Yeah, it's weird, yeah.
But it's not a crime.
Okay.
And once you are a part of actually, hey, let's call the police together, let's file a complaint together, let's lie and say these were white people when we know that it was us, that's different. That's when you become jammed up, as you said. That's when you become a co-conspirator, but they're not that.
So Garagos and Blandian, is that her name, the assistant woman who works with Garagos, or maybe she's on the same level, I don't know. But they've said things like what? They've said that they've been dealing in drugs, they're just out for their own good, that they went after Jussie and maliciously. I mean, what are the kinds of things that you think are harming their reputation that you need to correct?
I think Garagos and Blandian have perpetrated a fraud upon the city by going out and saying that the brothers are criminals, that they're almost like the lone attackers.
Doesn't one of them have a criminal record, though?
I believe he may, which is really irrelevant to this.
Okay.
That they went and tried to purchase Nigerian steroids for Jussie. They've perpetrated the fraud. They're the ones that
the
have
lawyers
now,
here.
The lawyers. I'm talking about
so
the lawyers.
So Garagos has perpetrated a fraud against your clients, believe.
And basically, as Gloria said, rather than take their W and go home, they've continued to throw dirt upon the brothers.
Because
their
why
own.
Do you think that is?
Well,
I mean, I know why I think it is, but I'd like to hear your thought on it.
To advance their own fame and fortune. I mean, they're going to say, well, you know, we came into Chicago and we took care of this, and they don't want it to die. They don't want it to end.
Well, doesn't Jussie Smollett want the nation to believe that he was wronged by the Chicago Police Department and that this all did happen and it's a gigantic cover-up? Isn't that what Jussie's kind of pushing for here?
He's pushing it, but he hasn't said too much. He said, I've been exonerated, which is not true.
Right. We hear that a lot these days. I love when guys run around screaming that they're exonerated.
I'm exonerated.
A lot of
that.
It's a big deal, yeah.
But the attorneys have continued on, and they've pointed the finger at the brothers and saying they're the criminals, they're the ones that perpetrated the crime, they're the ones that were dealing in drugs, they're the ones that are doing all these things, and which is not true, which puts these young men who, again, most people don't know, were born, raised, and bred on the north side of the city of Chicago.
Right. They're Chicagoans.
They're Chicagoans.
Yeah. Right. Everybody's calling them Nigerians because they're of Nigerian descent, and they went back to Nigeria. Mm-hmm. I think the confusion here is that they took a trip to Nigeria in the middle of all of this.
Yeah, and so they keep calling them the Nigerian brothers as opposed to, you know, like I mentioned, if their last name was O'Malley, would they call them the Irish brothers?
No, in this town, they might. Yeah,
of course.
Yeah. Beverly, I think, specifically.
In Garagos' response, he says that this is lawyer-driven nonsense, which is kind of odd because it seems like he's certainly been responsible for his own lawyer-driven nonsense over the years.
For 30 years, yeah.
But ultimately, what would you be seeking here? Damages?
Of course. These young men have their life has been somewhat destroyed. They can't get a job. They've had their own, I don't want to say athletic, their own program of health and fitness. And what does Garagos do? And Tina, they mentioned that, they're trying to get steroids for Jussie, which, again, is totally opposite of their program.
And that came out of total thin air. There was absolutely not a scintilla of evidence of the truth to that statement. I think she responded when she was confronted with a text, and she came up with that theory, which has no backing at all, mm-hmm. support of factually at all. So that's a significant issue, actually.
I
still want to get back to this question, though. How did they end up there that night?
Well, before we get to that, can I add something?
Sure. But you're going to answer that question, too.
I'll answer it. I'll circle back to it. Imagine being Ola and Bola's mom, and you turn on the television, and all you can see is people saying all this bad stuff about your kids, or going on Twitter and social media and seeing a picture of yourself with, like, Photoshopped white face all over your body and red caps. I mean, this is humiliating to them.
So that was Photoshopped? That wasn't a retro picture as it was?
People, like, have memed them on social media. People have done really cruel things. They're laughing at them. The white face thing came from Tina Glandian, full stop.
Yeah, that was
ridiculous.
I'm
going
to go with ridiculous on that, too. That was the craziest thing ever, because that is Photoshopped. That's not real. The white face thing from being a zombie or somewhere in a party.
No, he had on his Instagram like an audition reel kind of thing where he's playing the Joker from the Batman movies, and obviously Joker wears white makeup. He's a clown. Clowns wear white makeup.
Right, right.
So
that's real. That's not Photoshop.
That is. But the other, the stills, the memes, the GIFs of them with white paint all over their bodies. I mean, they're made like they're caricatures now.
Right.
And so that's really hurting them.
And it was ridiculous. I have to say, I've seen some lawyers do some ridiculous things, and they would refer to them as artful, but I would refer to them as ridiculous. Uh-huh. That was one of the most ridiculous arguments I've ever seen. But I got to go back. How did they end up there that night?
How did they end up there was by putting their trust in the wrong person. They had a friend who is well connected to Hollywood, which is the industry they're trying to break. I don't know if you know this, Hollywood's kind of tough to get into. And so the more connections you have, the better your odds are at making it there. And so here comes Jussie Smollett, their friend, and they actually did have a friendship. He asks them to participate in this thing, and they don't ask too many questions because they want to curry favor. They want to do good by their bud. It's not going to cost them anything. So, all right, yeah, we'll do it.
Were they paid to do it?
Was that money that we saw?
Yeah, of course. The payment was always, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. the front will be for the training, so I'm helping you on that front also, because I'm going to promote your training and your bodybuilding portfolio. But hey, really, I'm asking you to do this for me, this thing I've asked you to keep on the low.
Okay, right, because there's evidence that of those exact words being exchanged, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay. Now, I go back to this. Your contention is that there's nothing illegal about what they did, because they didn't take part in the misrepresenting of the facts of this to the law enforcement. They did exactly the opposite, actually, right?
Exactly.
When they returned. Why did they go to Nigeria?
That was pre-planned.
Was it coordinated around? Was this incident, whatever this was, hoax incident, whatever you want to call it, planned because for that date, because they were going to Nigeria on a pre-planned trip?
So my conclusion of that is that Jesse knew, because they had told him, hey, we're going to Nigeria. They had unrelated things to do there. Olanbola's dad still lives there, is there now as we speak. They have family there. So this was all, the tickets were purchased, and that was all corroborated with the police. So I think, my conclusion again, I really think Jesse used them. Knew and didn't want to delay his stunt because he knew they were leaving that day.
Does Jesse, would he have to testify or give some kind of deposition? Would that be part of what you're seeking here as part of this lawsuit?
I think there's a very strong possibility that his deposition will be taken.
Boy, that could be interesting.
As Greg grins into the question,
could you possibly ask
him? There are a lot of menacing things going on here. Will all of this come out? I mean, is the purpose of this suit to, obviously it's to clear the names of your clients here, right, and say that they weren't involved in this, but is it, they weren't involved in this in a criminal way, and that they were involved in other things that you just referenced, the, you know, the exchange of steroids and things like that. That's not what they were doing. But is it also to, I'm going to use the term jam up again, because you hear it a lot in this town, to jam up Jesse Smollett for doing this and getting away with it?
No, Jesse, I mean, has absolutely nothing to do with this as far as jamming him up goes. I mean, what we're trying to get back is their reputation. It wasn't destroyed by the state attorney's office. I mean, the dismissal of the charges didn't destroy Bolin Ola's reputation. It was the statements of Jesse's attorneys that really did the damage. I mean, cases get dismissed frequently in the courts, and
did it make sense to dismiss this case in your legal opinion?
No, absolutely not. I really don't want to get into the state's attorney's decisions.
I'll do that after you leave.
I know a couple of the state's attorneys actually left the office. The two recently, the higher up state's attorneys have left. I know them for a while, both of them. One was a former federal prosecutor I used to deal with a lot. Both of them were former federal prosecutors, and Mark Roeder was actually in private practice for a while. But back to, the state's attorney didn't damage their reputations. Like I said, cases do get dismissed. I'm not saying it was appropriate in this instance, but when a case gets dismissed, the complaining witness doesn't lose their whole life, typically. I mean, rarely, if ever. But it was only after that, the statements, the constant statements is what changed their life. So that's really why we're suing.
All right. Hmm. Okay, well, listen, the story takes another turn.
It does.
Doesn't hurt us in any way, shape, or form. Actually, rather helps. And I honestly, what I would like to have happen at the end of this, and on behalf of the city of Chicago, mm-hmm. and on behalf of the 13,000 hardworking men and women of the Chicago Police Department who put, you know, a lot of resource into this and their reputation at stake, because that was, I think, a little bit of Jesse Smollett's calculation here, mm-hmm. was to take advantage of the bad reputation that Chicago unfortunately enjoys or doesn't enjoy, however you want to put that. And this is a very, it was an embarrassing moment, I think, for everybody. But the fact that it troubles me that I talk to people who are not from here, we talk to them all the time on both coasts, who are like, yeah, whatever happened with that? That was really weird. And they kind of take the Jesse Smollett, the more you know, it's the big lie theory. The more you say, hey, I was exonerated and those guys mm-hmm. were out to get me and this was bad, mm-hmm. more people believe it. Right, because they're not paying attention to it, and I would like this to be clarified. And I would like either the Empire people to make this into a plot twist on the show, and then have Jesse actually arrested on the show. That would be good.
Would that feel better?
That would feel better for me.
At least a fake arrest,
right? Like
would be
sort
nice.
Of right. I would like to, you know, some sort
for
of other deal. Actually, I think that maybe Ola and Bola can play themselves in this. Maybe that would be good. Then they finally break into Hollywood. But however it is, it's just a stain that Chicago does not deserve. We deserve a lot of them, but this is not one of them, and it troubles me when we have something happen like this. Mm-hmm. So, all right, well, good luck, kids, out there in the courts.
And keep us posted.
Yes, we'll see what happens here.
Thank you.
We'll do.
Greg Kulas and Jim Tunick, and, of course, Gloria Schmidt, who's had this since the very beginning. You've seen her on television handling this from the very, very, very beginning with the Alcindero brothers. Right now, let's check in with Kim Gordon, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Roe, and then there were 20, a familiar face about to officially enter the race for president later this week.
Wednesday, Rizzo and the Cubs take on Bellinger and the defending NL champs, Cubs-Dodgers, Wednesday night at 7 on WGN-TV Sports.
All right. Chicago's an interesting town, if you know what I mean.
I do.
We just saw a most Chicago twist and turn to the Jussie Smollett story, where attorneys are suing attorneys on behalf of their clients.
They are.
Yeah. And so it's going to happen right there. So we'll see.
Yeah. And you were right. It is Ola and Bola, although they before were going as Ola and Abel. But I guess there's a couple names there. There's ways to shorten their
I think Ola names. And Bola is good because I think they're starting a branding. They got a new headshot. They got new pictures of themselves.
They look good.
Ola and Bola. And maybe they build a business out of this.
Like a fitness business?
Mm-hmm. I think that may be a little bit of what the hope is at the end of all of this.
Well, they did get the short end of the stick here. Let's be honest.
Yes, they did.
No.
Did they buy that
take
shirt?
Pictures with the red pandas that are named Lufa and Dufa. It would be the greatest foursome ever. You should be on the branding team. These are good ideas. Oh, no. Copyright. Don't tell anyone.
I'm still not 100% sure this is the way I would handle this if I were the Alcindero brothers, but I get what they're doing. They want their reputation back.
Yeah, I mean,
but their reputation wasn't. I mean, one of them does have a criminal record.
That's right.
So I don't know. Do you want all that out again? You want to still have that conversation? I don't know where this goes, but we'll see. We'll see. I'm just glad that it's still a story.
Yeah, it keeps it alive, and maybe those depositions could be kind of interesting if the Jussie Smollett has to sit down for and answer some questions.
My guess is Mark Garagos pays these guys to go away. That is my guess.
He's got
a lot going on. He doesn't need this.
No, he does not.
But Garagos asked for this. He literally asked for it. He went on CNN, and he went and he auditioned for the job of Jussie Smollett's attorney.
He did, and he got it.
Yeah. So let's look at that. All right, hold on. Kim Gordon standing by. She's got the news coming your way in 2 little minutes.
Let's have 3 hours of rocking and rolling.
Dick Biondi, the American rock and roll disc jockey.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dick Biondi. I'm sure you guys are having a lot of fun.
Love that.
Oh, boy. Dick Biondi is, without question, when you meet Dick Biondi as a radio person, you're in awe. As a fan, you're in maybe less awe than you are even as a radio person. Dick Biondi is one of those voices, is one of those really rare media personalities that one can say changed the culture.
Mm-hmm, no question.
And he did it right from here, right from Chicago. And there were some other DJs that did it throughout the country. In New York, there was one. In Cleveland, there was one. But Dick Biondi was the guy that made the, you know, everybody likes to say they broke the Beatles or that they broke the Rolling Stones.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is that again, just this very small collection, a small handful of people did that. But they did do it. I mean, and you can still talk to. I remember getting an opportunity to sit down with Elton John. And the only reason Elton John granted me the interview was because I worked at the radio station that broke him in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And because one of the voices you just heard right there, Bob Surratt, was the guy who broke him here in Chicago. And Dick Biondi did that. You know, Elton John was the second iteration of those acts. But were it not for the, you know, the great American rock and roll acts of the 1950s and the 1960s and then the British acts of the 1960s and the 1970s, the American culture would be totally different. And now a film has been made about Dick Biondi, and it is about damn time. That is all I'm going to say about
how about
that.
It?
Yeah, about that right now. Joe Farina is with us. Not that Joe Farina. We have a Joe Farina on the show all the time. But again, you got these names, you know, that there's four or five guys, you know, with
there
the same
are a
name.
Lot of guys named Farina.
He's my stunt double.
Yes, he might be. But Joe Farina and Pam Police is here. And Pam, you're the director of this film, right?
Right.
And now there's an interesting quote that got you to think about. I want you to tell that story. There's something that Dick Biondi would say that you thought to yourself as a filmmaker, I got to make this movie about this guy.
Well, the quote is, there's nothing more intimate than my voice inside your head. And because we all grew up with Dick, listening to him under our pillows with our transistor radios, and I especially did, I just connected with that. And it kind of was, I originally was going to call it The Voice Inside My Head, and I thought, no, maybe not. It might go in different ways right, for some people.
That might make it go in a different direction. Yeah.
Right. But it that voice was just, it touched us, it moved us, it changed radio for sure.
Oh,
and you're right,
question.
And it was right here in Chicago.
Yeah, and he did it, and you know the thing about Dick Biondi too. I mean, you know, he's working up until about an hour ago,
right.
I think. Right,
he's
I mean,
his 80s, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. he's one of those stories too about the radio industry. Which is after a time in the 1970s, there was like, all right, that, you know, that was yesterday's news. And so, you know, Dick left Chicago, went, I think, to South Carolina, if I'm not mistaken, where he was working as a DJ. Because, you know, once a DJ, you're always a DJ. You can't, once you're on the radio, you can't ever come off the radio. And he was found down there and brought back to Chicago by a guy who ran an oldies station here. And he then went on to have another 30 years of a career in
That's
Chicago
right.
radio. And again, as a night guy, as you know, number one in his time slot often, you know, over those 30 years. And it was just, and there was something about him, and the act didn't change. He never,
That's right.
he didn't have to, the act didn't have to change because the act wasn't about what was going on in the world. The act was what was going on in your head. Right?
That's right. And Dick, he just reinvented himself when he came back in the 80s and became an oldies DJ and actually connected with a whole new generation of people. And he's been doing that. He did it for over six decades. It's a pretty remarkable career when you think about it.
More people have mentioned his name to me.
Yes.
When, you know, I'm traveling around the country and people, you know, say, you know, so what did you do? And I say, well, I'm on the radio in Chicago. They, do you know Dick Biondi? You know, that's one of those names that just goes on and on forever. All right, so tell me about the film. What is it that, what are you trying to, what story are you trying to tell?
Well, you know, I met Dick when I was 13, back in 1961. He was number one DJ in the country at the time. I didn't know that. I knew he was the most popular DJ around town. You could literally walk down the street and the cars going by with the windows open because we didn't have air conditioning back then. The houses didn't have air conditioning. The windows were open. You could listen to Dick's show without a radio.
Yeah.
Everybody had him on.
Then?
And I remember that. But when I met Dick in 61, he was such a nice man. I just couldn't get over it. And I started a fan club for him. And that's how I got to really know him, because I started going to the WLS studios, Sock Hops, anywhere Dick was, I was trying to be there, you know. And this went on for 3 years when he was at WLS radio. And then he got fired in 1963, and my whole world came crashing down.
Did you write the station, or did you take any of those acts?
We were all devastated.
Well, and there were a lot of apocryphal stories about how he got fired.
Yes.
There were a lot of, you know, there was a story that, you know, he got into a fight in the studio. There was a story that he told the general manager where to go. There was a story that he, that, you know, he told a bawdy joke on the air that was misunderstood, misrepresented. And the funny thing is, I've done all of those things and never gotten fired for them. And I don't know why that is. But it turns out not to have really been any of that. But the legend was bigger. I mean, I think it was more fun to have the legend, wasn't it?
Yeah, that urban legend is still alive. And it's going to be in the movie because we've got people saying, I heard it with my own ears, that joke, you know?
Yeah.
And then you've got other people saying, I was there and this is what happened. You know, we're going to explore both sides of that. So it's going
to
be fun.
It's interesting you talk about how he was so good to you as a teenager, because it isn't always the experience, let's face it, especially when someone's at the height of their popularity. Seemed like there was that on the radio, off the radio, and I've never had the honor to meet him. I know of him and his legend, but it seemed like that was always the case, that the way, person he was on the air was this.
He was such a kind person. I mean, he was all about his fans. He loved his fans. You know, I remember when we came running over to see him, his little stint that he was doing over at the local shopping center was over. We saw the last fan leaving, and we were running. Oh, my gosh, you know, we're going to miss him. Well, as soon as he saw us running toward him, he turned toward us with the biggest smile, and he was like, oh, girls, thanks for coming out. You know, he was so glad to see us. And he started asking about us, you know, and we felt like he really cared. And I found out that he really does care. He cares very much about his
He's that guy.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah. He's also a perpetual teenager. He's still kind of dressed like a teenager, was running up and down the halls. I mean,
his 70s and 60s?
A month ago. I was at, when I left LS in 2014.
Uh-huh.
And it was funny because Dick and I would, you know, see each other in the halls all the time. And he would come in for his night show at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, he wanted to put in a full 8-hour shift. He was not, or 10-hour shift. He wasn't going to do it. And he would call his program director every morning. I mean, his program director told me, multiple program directors told me this story. He would call up and go, hey, boss, do I still have a job today? He's that guy. He would I just want to make sure I'm coming in for something. Yeah. Which, you know, now I understand why he did it, but still.
He was fired 25 times, you know.
Yeah, right. Wow. He was. Yeah. So there's good reason for it. So not for him firing, but for him to ask that question. And so he's just a perpetual ball of energy. Uh-huh. And even after he had gotten sick and he had some mobility issues, he would come back and he was still, you know, like wearing the tennis shoes and being that teenager.
So
and
cool.
It is amazing. Yeah. And he has an encyclopedic knowledge of the music and the stories that he has about the people that he had met along the way, and the artist's reverence for him is just, you just don't get any of this anymore. You know, maybe in political talk radio there would be guys like, you know, Rush Limbaugh or something that would say, you know, there were kingmakers. Well, in a much more benign and I think in a lot of ways positive way, mm-hmm. he changed the culture in terms of turning kids on to, you know, music and aspirational things,
mm-hmm.
not power, but, you know, enjoyment of life.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. I mean, that's how I got into listening to Dick Biondi. I mean, I love rock and roll music. I grew up in Chicago, and I became a big fan of oldies, classic rock, and Dick Biondi is the reason why.
Yeah, there's just no two ways around it. All right, when is the film coming out?
Well, it's not complete, actually. It's in post-production, and we're trying to raise the money to finish it.
Oh, and there's a fundraiser, is there not, on Sunday?
Yes, there is. This coming Sunday.
115 Bourbon Street?
Yes. I'm going to let Joe tell you about that.
Okay, 115 Bourbon Street, this Sunday, April 28th, from 2 until 6. Master of Ceremonies, Scott McKay, the New Colony 6 are headlining. We also have Carl G. Marisi, Jim Peterick.
Never heard of him. Which one is that?
Does he have purple hair?
Yeah, I think so. For now, he does. Yeah, might see him again. It might be a different color.
Never know.
Dennis Tufano will also be performing. A lot of great Chicago area bands. And we'll also have a great silent and live auction as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool.
All right, and that
buffet
is
dinner.
It's buffet dinner.
Oh,
yes.
Beer and wine.
What could go wrong?
And it's in the afternoon, so it's from 2 to 6. So, and it's all ages. Bring kids.
Absolutely.
Great. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And as I like to do at 115 Bourbon Street is mm-hmm. call an Uber. I think that's the way to go. And it is. It's $37 at the door. $18 if you're under 21. And the Wait, do I have that right? Is it 37? Do I have that right?
That's you got
right.
it.
It'll be 45 at the door,
you
though.
You got it.
Okay.
You
all right.
You
all
got
right.
it.
So that's what it is. And if you'd like more details on this, is there a website people can go to?
DickBiondiFilm.com. We also right. have a Facebook page as well.
Right. Can I just mention that yes. WTTW is going to run our documentary yes. when
nice.
It's complete.
All right, excellent.
And we have, how many, four or five other PBS yes. stations around the country in
how
markets where Dick worked
yeah.
that want to run
excellent.
It too.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Nice. Good luck with it, Dick Biondi
Thank
Film.
You so Thank much you. For right. having us.
Thank you.
Thanks for talking.
Kim, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
Rose, starting today, Amazon will deliver your packages right into your garage.
The Rokan Show with Ann Avlantis right here on 720 WGN and...
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
Group of Chicago police officers are taking Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox to court, saying they want her to be removed from a criminal case involving local activist Jedediah Brown. And they would like a special prosecutor appointed because she's not really good at recusing herself. I don't know if you've noticed this. She says she's going to recuse herself, and she doesn't recuse herself. And the problem is that Mr. Brown is involved in a case, but there is a picture of him.
A selfie.
A selfie of him and Kim Fox smiling at an event in Operation Push.
Here we go.
So she would have to recuse herself.
You kind of do in that case. Yes, you do.
Right?
But not colloquially
no.
recuse, but recuse.
Like not, really recuse.
Yeah, I don't know where you have to make that distinction, but we do.
Yes, we do now.
We do.
Oh, my God. All right.
Deep breaths.
Here are the police activists.
If a man has a pending criminal case, the state's attorney shouldn't have any contact with that person. He shouldn't be talking to that person. He certainly shouldn't be posing for photographs with that person.
That's James McKay. He's representing the police in this. That's correct!
They seem like
Thank you!
Points.
Thank you! For Mr. Brown's side of this, he says that this is just another political hit. This is what he told Fox.
There is a video on my Facebook page that shows this matter. And again, I didn't expect it to even be taken this far. I don't believe that this is about me, nor this case, nor about justice. I really think that this is about a continued assault on Kim Fox. And I'm just a casualty along the way.
What?
You can't pose with the state's attorney.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another assault on Kim Fox.
Yeah.
Well, this recusal situation right. is getting to be a four alarm fire.
So you really,
fire,
really recusing
fire.
Yourself, or just sort of kind of recusing yourself?
Is the asterisk at the back of right. this one? Are we using air quotes? Just want to know.
Yeah. I was just kidding. I was saying it sarcastically.
In really, really small fine print next to it. What does it say?
Checking it out.
Number four.
Oh my God! Here's another one. Here's another one. Did you see Bernie Sanders last night on CNN?
I did.
He's single-handedly trying to hand the presidency back to Donald Trump. So he gets asked. He gets asked. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a guy who gets up. Do we have the question here, too? Okay. So there's a kid. There's a bunch of students. It's at St. Elmo's Fire College or whatever the hell it is in New Hampshire.
Right.
St. Anselm.
Out there.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever it's called. Anyway, there's a bunch of Harvard students there who are all political activists because all part of the Harvard Political Institute, blah, 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 blah. And this kid stands up and he's like, hey, do you really want convicted felons in prison to vote? Because people are saying that you want that. Do you really want that? And I thought, and I'm watching this, I'm thinking, oh, now here's Bernie. He's going to clarify this because he couldn't possibly want that. People in prison voting, like polling places in the prisons, couldn't possibly want that, would you, Bernie?
Now, here is my view. If somebody commits a serious crime, sexual assault, murder, they're going to be punished. They may be in jail for 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, their whole lives. That's what happens when you commit a serious crime. But I think the right to vote is inherent to our democracy. Yes, even for terrible people.
Okay. All right. Well, then now he says that, and I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe he means when they get out of prison.
Once you start chipping away and you say, well, that guy committed a terrible crime, not going to let him vote. Or that person did that, not going to let that person vote. You're running down a slippery slope. So I believe that people who commit crimes, they pay the price. When they got out of jail, I believe they certainly should have the right to vote. But I do believe that even if they are in jail, they're paying their price to society. But that should not take away their inherent American right to participate in our democracy.
Oh, my God! Am I? What did? All right, I'm dreaming this whole thing, right?
Trump is watching this with the biggest smile on his face you've ever seen.
You see all the Republicans tweeting this out, like, this is great.
Oh, this is endless material for them.
Terrifico.
Although, it is terrifico for the Republicans, but Jared also, you know, kind of stands for this kind of thing too, because Jared's dad didn't like it when he was in federal prison. So we have to. So now all of a sudden, everybody's going to have to get a nicer prison cell because Jared's father didn't like it.
I think this just makes Bernie Sanders people love him even more because he's being honest. He's saying that you have 60% of the prison population in South Carolina is African American, that it seems racist to not allow them to vote. It's disenfranchising millions, and then they get out, and some people are still not allowed to vote.
No, it's not. These people are in prison. Now, we can make the argument. You have to fix one thing or the other. You can't say that if these people have been disenfranchised and been imprisoned solely because they're innocent and they had bad defense, that's a separate issue. That's an issue that needs to be addressed. That's happened here in Cook County. It's happened in the state of Illinois. That happens in other places of the country. We can address it. And as a matter of fact, that is one of the pieces that Jared Kushner and Van Jones and all the people, unlikely bedfellows here, all got together and are trying to address. Once you're in prison, you can't vote. You cannot vote in prison. That's the whole idea. You can't leave prison because you're in prison. They got bars and doors and locks, right?
What if you're falsely accused?
Well, but you see, then you have to be proven to be falsely accused because everybody in prison is falsely accused. If you've ever been there, they'll tell you. You ever get mail for prison? I'm sure you have. Let's not talk about it.
No, don't bring that up. Those are bad memories.
That everybody's falsely accused. Once you can make it, you cannot vote in prison. Once you're out, we can make the argument. Some states allow it, some states don't.
Maine and Vermont allow inmates to vote. And I think so there is a discussion within the Democratic Party. Do you allow people who are convicted of minor drug offenses vote? Do you let people who are non-violent criminals vote? Where do you draw the line?
It's very simple. You draw the line where they're behind the bars. They've already created the line. I gotta go. Kim. Oh, I don't. You don't even know. You're not even doing this at the bottom of the hour. Lauren, what's going on in the roads?
So, watch for Chicago's very own stories with Micah and Joe, Micah Mater and Joe Donlin, weeknights on WGN TV News at 9 o'clock.
All right, checking in on the top 5 at
number 3.
All right, attorneys who are representing the Osandero brothers were in the studio with us just a little bit ago.
They were.
And telling us how they are going to be suing Jussie Smollett's attorneys, Mark Garagos and his legal partner, for smearing the names of the Osandero brothers.
They did not conspire because they were not part of calling the police and defrauding the police. So if I were to say, hey, why don't I give you $5 and I have you pour bleach on me that you collect in the hot sauce bottle from your house, that's not a crime. It may be weird, but it's not a crime. And once you are a part of actually, hey, let's call the police together, let's file a complaint together, let's lie and say these were white people when we know that it was us, that's different. That's when you become jammed up, as you said. That's when you become a co-conspirator, but they're not that.
I'm not sure that that's exactly how the public's going to see this, but So the question I asked was, well, aren't you jamming them up by bringing this up again because they, you know, took part in this scheme? And that's her answer.
But Marco Garagos, to be fair here, I mean, look, he's one of those celebrity LA attorneys who went after the police department, went after the city, sort of fanned the flames of the racial tensions, went after the brothers, went after everyone except for the guy who all of the authorities in this town say was responsible for this hugely orchestrated lie and
hoax.
True.
Coming up, by the way, White Sox baseball after 5:30 on WGN Radio, but then on WGN Online, WGNRadio.com, and then the app, all the stream possibilities here, you will hear the first review of Avengers Endgame.
Woo-hoo.
With Richard Roper. Checking in at
number two.
Friend of the show, Bob Saget, dear friend of the show, family member of this very radio program, one would argue.
I think I saw him kiss you on the lips once.
He did once kiss me on the lips. I'm responsible for him getting married again.
You are.
After everything I've been through, I can't believe he decided to do it, but he did. He was asked about his co-star on Fuller House and Full House, Lori Loughlin.
I get flustered because it's personal, and that's where I'm keeping it, and there's 30 years of love there. So that's all I got.
Okay. Have you kept in touch with her over the last few weeks at all?
She's a very good prober. we do carrier pigeon. I love her very much. That's it. That all would right. be my, that's more than no comment.
Yeah.
Very good rebuttal though.
Yeah.
It's a rough world. You get out of your car, people put mics in your face and I go, put it down here lower and I'll talk to you.
That's our guy.
Here
and finally.
Number one.
As I said, you're just minutes away from the first review at WGNRadio.com, the WGN Radio app you can get on your phone, or you can ask TuneIn or your smart speaker to play WGN Radio for you. You'll hear this review. Here is Paul Rudd being asked the question, hey, how does this movie end?
I'm so excited to see the movie. I feel like I've been waiting with the fans as well just to see how this 10 years of time of work has culminated into this one, you know, final chapter. And it feels like the end of something, but the beginning of something else.
I haven't read the script. We got given our pages, and then this is the first time I'll see it and the first time I'll actually find out what happens. So hopefully I'm in it.
It's like buying a present for someone as a group, but you don't quite know what the present is. So as they open it, you're like, well, what'd we get them?
My daughter has asked me repeatedly, tell me, and she promises she won't tell anybody, but she's 9, and I don't believe her.
That's Paul Rudd right there. That was the whole other part of the cast. It's over.
The top 5 at 5.
Waiting for him. When I say we all, I mean Brian, our technical producer, and Lauren.
I thought you meant humanity.
No.
Lauren is freaking out. She's got a bucket of popcorn. She's posted up. She's ready and fired up to hear Richard Roper. Look out.
I haven't been drinking water for multiple days. That way I don't have to go to the bathroom.
That's a very good point.
Bold strategy.
Yeah, that's right.
I will.
I don't know if it's bold as much as it is awkward, but it is a strategy nonetheless.
Risk is worth it.
Yeah. You know what? That's amazing, Lauren, because in my Sun Times review, which I just wrote, I actually said in the review, and I don't think I've ever written this in a review before, go to the bathroom just before the movie starts because it's 3 hours and you don't want to miss a moment. Because even at the critics screening, a couple of times some critics walked out. Ooh. I wanted to trip them on their way out. They come back. I'm not going to tell you what happened.
Can't trust him.
You don't know. There could be a dead Avenger in the 5 minutes you were
right.
gone.
And you missed a minute.
Or an Avenger marriage. Or an evil twin Avenger. You don't know. I'm not saying any of those things happen, by the way. We're kind of trying to keep it as spoiler free as we can with our review.
I think an adventure of marriage is kind of fun. I think, like, Ant-Man and Thanos getting together, maybe. I don't know.
Thor, is that your hammer? Are you ready for our wedding night?
Oh, it's the web. He gets to wait. He gets to pull that kind of crap on the internet.
You know, all the superhero movies have been always kind of light on that part of the story. I mean, Lois Lane always had a smile on her face. We know that. After, you know, Clark Kent, and they had a nice romance, but we never got any details about that.
Wasn't there, I think, didn't they kind of make love in orbit or something?
Yeah, they sort of, well, remember they had the look on their face, you know, just very...
Well, in Wonder Woman, you know, in the first Wonder Woman movie, she, you know, she was in love with Chris Pine, the World War One pilot.
Not Chris Evans.
Not Chris Hemsworth or Chris Pratt. but three of those crises are in the Avengers movies, Avengers Endgame, right? Because Chris Evans is Captain America.
Right.
Chris Hemsworth is Thor.
Right.
And Chris Pratt is Star-Lord. One of my favorite things about the Avengers is I was writing all the names of the characters. So you say, you know, Robert Downey Jr. is Tony Stark slash Iron Man.
Right.
Captain America is Steve Rogers slash Captain America. But Chris Hemsworth is Thor slash... He's just always Thor, guys. That's it. He ain't got no alter ego, no secret identity. He's Thor all the time.
All right, so your thoughts on this film.
So this is the much ballyhooed 23rd entry in the Marvel Universe, Avengers Endgame. And, you know, it has been hyped to the skies. It's going to gross $300 million in its opening weekend here in the United States. Opening weekend's really going to be about 4 days. And we'll probably crack the $2 billion mark worldwide in a matter of, you know, a month or two.
Has it opened anywhere else yet?
No. It is looking...
Is it all opening simultaneously?
Yeah, and in fact, I saw the screening, you know, earlier today as we were talking about at the AMC River East, and they had, you know, the ropes already there, and it said lines begin to form at 6 a.m. So I guess, you know, you can get some of these theaters, you can get assigned seats, but others you can get a ticket, but it's not a guaranteed seat. I don't think I'd wait in line. Jesus, I would wait in line at 6 a.m. if I thought for sure he was coming by.
Mm-hmm.
Springsteen, not 6 a.m. But God love those crazy fans. So for folks who, you know, have been following along with this, first of all, can any movie live up to the hype? And I am happy and pleased to report that this film lives up to all of the crazy hype. It is maybe the best superhero movie ever made. Certainly one of the best movies in the entirety of the Marvel Universe, in part because everything we've seen in those other 22 movies has led to this moment, to this incredible collection of all the Avengers. Now, for those of you playing at home, the last Avengers, Infinity War, sorry, we have to talk about the ending of the movie that came out before this one.
Yeah.
But Thanos, the, you know, the most evil, despicable villain in the Marvel Universe, played by the great Josh Brolin, believing that the world, all the worlds, all the universes were going to be destroyed soon because of, you know, the fake news climate, overpopulation and the global warming. He decided that the only way to save the world was to arbitrarily slice the population of the entire universe in half with the snap of his fingers. And he had the six Infinity Stones, which, as Lauren knows, allowed him to do that. So at the very end of the last Avengers movie, it was shocking to people because half of the characters in the Marvel Universe disappeared in clouds of dust. They died. Now this movie picks it up immediately thereafter with the surviving Avengers all in a state of mourning, scattered to various ends of the earth, because half of the planet has been destroyed. There's no more Peter Parker Spider-Man. There's no more Nick Fury, the Samuel L. Jackson character, many others. They're gone. So now they've got the surviving Avengers. You've got your Tony Stark, Iron Man, and Captain America, and Black Widow, and a few others. But what can they do? They can't do anything until and this is the only part we have to give away a little bit of what's going to happen here.
All right, hold on. So, okay, letting people know who are listening now online or will be listening to this podcast that this is this may be the moment that if you want to be a total virgin walking into this, which most people are, who are really into it, there is then here. This is your moment to check out.
Yes, and you know, I will say this too. Even in my print review and continuing here, I guarantee I'm not going to spoil the 10 biggest plot points in this film.
Okay.
But Paul Rudd, who plays Ant-Man. You know, he's deep into the quantum physics and that, all that kind of stuff, because he's been, you know, in previous movies, he's shrunk down to even smaller than an ant, and he's entered the quantum realm and been inside, you know, all kinds of places where nobody else could go. So he's kind of dealt kind of with, you know, transporting oneself in mystical scientific ways. So he's saying now, can we take it to the next level? Can we explore the quantum realm to the point where we can expand time in a way that we could go back just far enough to before Thanos destroyed all the people, half the people in the world? And then one of the Avengers says, well, you're talking about a time machine. And he goes, no, it's a time machine. So now the idea is going to be that the surviving Avengers are going to pair up in teams of two and travel to various spots on the timeline and various places. They got one shot to maybe
make this work,
reverse history. So here's this clip.
He used the stones again.
Hey, we'd be going in short-handed, you know.
Look, he's still got the stones, so
let's get him, use them to bring everyone back,
just like that.
Yeah, just like that.
Even if there's a small chance that we can undo this, I mean, we owe it to everyone who's not in this room to try.
If we do this, how do we know it's going to end any differently than it did before?
Because before you didn't have me.
Hey, new girl, everybody in this room is about that superhero life. And if you don't mind my asking, where the hell have you been all this time?
There are a lot of other planets in the universe, but unfortunately, they didn't have you guys.
It's Captain Marvel, Brie Larson, of course, you know. They've just met her. Because in the Captain Marvel movie, which was set in the 90s, at the end of that movie, she went off to save a lot of other planets. So that's why they're saying, like, well, where have you been through all of this, all of these things?
Happens before this, though, right?
Captain Marvel takes place in the 1990s. This place takes place in real time and then in a few years in the future. So, you know, in the Marvel universe, they keep saying,
how does Donald Trump handle this?
Mentioned the president. It's the Marvel universe, and it's a much more marvelous universe. But it's great how they keep asking her. And it was a great way to explain the absence of the Captain Marvel character. She took off in 1997 to go save other planets. We also had to wait for Brie Larson to grow up and get cast in the role. Then she could play it, you know, and for Captain Marvel to become a movie. So you got everybody here. You know, you got all the Avengers and the Guardians of the Galaxies and the Wakandan royalty, you name it. And one of the cool, this movie's 3 hours long, and I'll tell you this, it does not feel like a 3 hour movie. It moves at such a brisk, breezy pace because there's so many characters to keep track of. And miraculously, the directors and the screenwriters managed to keep us involved with all the characters without ever losing track of them, even though it gets pretty complicated because they make some Back to the Future jokes, but it becomes a Back to the Future movie.
Right, the time machine.
You can't talk to yourself. You know, you see yourself. Remember that Marty McFly will tell you that?
Yes, right.
This movie also quotes Hot Tub Time Machine, which is fantastic, with another great time travel movie.
And what you have, though, which is so fascinating, is now because Marvel is such a gigantic machine, and obviously it's helpful that you got Marvel with Disney because they like to spend money, sort of. There is
where it's warranted.
You have great directors, you have great writers, and you have these are A-list actors doing
this. A ton of them together.
When you look at the cast, I mean, even some of the roles of the parents and ancillary characters. You've got Robert Redford is the Secretary of State. Michael Douglas is the original kind of inventor who came up with Ant-Man. Michelle Pfeiffer is his wife. I mean, and you see, I would count probably 10 Oscar winners and probably 10 Oscar nominees in this crowd because Natalie Portman has a role, and there's Mark Ruffalo, Scarlett Johansson, Chris Evans. I mean, these are A-list, as Rose said, A-list actors, and then a lot of young stars on the rise, too, like Elizabeth Olsen, Chadwick Boseman, who's now a star. Right. He's not a star on the rise. He's a bona fide movie star. So you have great acting and a lot of humor, and there's a couple of things that happen here I don't want to give away, but really much needed comic relief in places you wouldn't expect it, and actors you wouldn't expect to be funny being really funny. And I've always said Robert Downey Jr. is, to me, the heart and soul of the entire Marvel Universe. Tony Stark is, to me, the most fascinating alter ego, civilian, if you will, of anybody.
Because he feels very real. He feels like a lot of characters that are actually in our lives.
Tony Stark movie, the first Iron Man was mostly a Tony Stark movie before he became Iron Man. And Iron Man is a guy in a suit who flies around and can do cool things. Tony Stark is the most fascinating character, much more fascinating than any iteration we've had of a Bruce Wayne or a Peter Parker or a Clark Kent. And I think Robert Downey Jr., does Oscar-level work, but they never recognize it in superhero movies. Black mm-hmm. Panther got a nomination, but his acting here is as good as his acting when he plays Chaplin, when he does any other roles, because he's playing Tony Stark. And one of the things I loved about this movie is it spends at least as much time on the human side of the various characters than when they put on the superhero suits. And the cool thing is, when you think about it, a lot of these Avengers are human beings. They are vulnerable. You know, Black Panther, T'Challa needs that suit. If not, he can be killed. Black Widow, Scarlett Johansson, Jeremy Renner's character. Obviously, Tony Stark. He's got that, you know, that artificial heart. All of these characters, most of these characters. Thor's a different story. He's an immortal from Asgard. You know,
what are you gonna do?
He's gonna skin his knees? No, you know. But you know, Bruce Banner. You know, the Hulk can. You know, they are vulnerable and can be hurt and can die. They're not immortal. Most of them. So there's genuine risk at play here.
You can afford
these movies.
This payroll with so many stars. To the last one, Infinity War, was like $600 million. Opening.
Yeah, you can. And a lot of them at this point, well, Robert Downey Jr. gets a piece of the pie. So, you know, he will make $250 million, maybe, from this movie alone. Because they need, you know, look, when he was the first Iron Man, they couldn't get insurance on him. It was hard to get him bonded. You know, John Favreau had a settled vouch for him, the director of the first Iron Man. Because this was.
I seem to recall he might have had some issues in his past.
Yes.
Like the time that he fell asleep in somebody else's child's bed. Because he walked into the wrong house.
But, I did a thing with him at the Music Box Theater just before Iron Man came out in the year 2000. And I met him backstage and I said, "How you doing?" He goes, "Much better than my hotel room. I just trashed it last night." And I said, "Oh, gosh." And he goes, no, it's because I'm not back on anything, but I needed to do something.
Wow.
So, and I'm like, okay.
Wow.
So the story's
good to see you, bud. But I love the action in the film, but to me, more of the heart, the emotional wallop it packs. Because the characters are traveling back in time, it gives them opportunities to revisit certain moments in their lives, maybe, and certain emotional things, and maybe even see people who are no longer with us in the future if you go back in the past. Just like, you know, in Back to the Future, when you see different, you know, people at different stages in life.
Lauren is like a 10-year-old on the ground right now, like her cradling her head in her hands, just watching this, so excited. Couldn't be more excited about this. Your reaction?
Well, one thing that stood out that you mentioned, Natalie Portman is making a return.
Just about everybody you could think of who ever played a character in any of the Marvel movies is here one way or another. Now, maybe it's a dream. Could be a flashback.
Could be a reference.
I'm not giving anything away. But you know, this is not one of those things like, you know, when you see the cover of a magazine, you find out that all the 12 people from the cast of Game of Thrones were not in the same room for the photo. It's none of that. You know, these are all of the actors who are in this movie were really in this movie. Even though sometimes you're seeing... Because they go back in time again. Obviously, you're going to see things that happened before on the Marvel timeline, but the actors are back playing in that part at that time so they can interact. It gets a little complex. Maybe a Captain America of 2020 meets a Captain America 2012. Since you've changed your hair. I'm not saying that happens. Because it might not. I might have used that as a red herring.
Sure. And is the government still trying to get involved and keep them at bay? Or are they just like, help us now?
Well, that I'm not going to tell you. I'll leave that pleasure for you.
How about this? 847, do you need to see any of the other movies before you see this one? What would you recommend
yes.
in case you're not like Great Lauren,
question.
Who's seen every
yeah.
single one of them?
You know, some of these, I think Lauren agrees, some of the Marvel Universe movies along the timeline you could probably have watched without knowing everything that's going on. Because you kind of figure out that big giant guy that talks like this and has the, you know, the biggest spear and a tail and wants to destroy the universe is the bad guy.
Right.
And then the guys wearing the stars and stuff are the good guys, and here we go. This case, I think, if you haven't seen them, a lot of it's going to be lost on you.
That's what I asked you before, and I know a texter is also asking the same thing because that recently came out. That's probably going to be the one that most people haven't seen.
Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you don't have to see Captain Marvel. You just have to acknowledge and accept that Brie Larson's Captain Marvel is now part of the universe. But almost every one of these films introduces a new character, right? I mean, and a lot of these characters, I think we mentioned this, you know, yesterday. They have not met each other until now, or just in the most recent. The Guardians of the Galaxy didn't even know about Thor until he landed on their ship. The raccoon, the rabbit, as some people call him, the rat, and the tree.
Yeah,
even the tree and the raccoon are played. You know, Vin Diesel plays Groot, and Bradley Cooper voices the little raccoon.
Oh, don't bring him up.
Oh, God.
Hey, listen, he has some emotional moments here, too. Don't think a little wisecracker doesn't have a heart, too.
Are there any garage doors?
Does he doesn't hang himself, does he?
What does the dog's look on his face?
God. What happens then? It all comes back to
right,
you guys.
Right, because I know. Cause
there is a duet. No, but
Lady Gaga finished the movie on.
At one point, there is a duet. But it's
all right, how many stars?
4 stars for Avengers Endgame. Yeah, you should have seen the other movies before you've seen this. But if where have you been?
You have to see Infinity War, though, right?
You don't have to see all 20, have seen all 22, but you should be at least familiar. Because
can I just watch Infinity War and then watch this?
Yeah, you can.
Between the 4,000 hours of Game of Thrones I got to catch up on.
I think you can.
Okay.
Look, there were a couple times where I had to think for a second, like, wait a minute, who is this person or being? Because it'll be like the daughter of some other character who was only in one of the movies and now is shows up, and I had a geek next to me, a girl geek next to me at the screen, and she elbowed me once, like, ah, that's she goes, oh man, Nebula, and I'm like, what is that, the new snack? I have snow caps. But Nebula is a character, as Lauren probably
blue.
Knows she is in more ways than one too, because there's
because
daddy
the
issues
movie.
Exactly.
Oh my God!
Karen Gillan playing Nebula. It's amazing cast, and it's great to see. There's such an element of diversity, but also girl power, because even Gwyneth Paltrow dons the suit. Robert Downey Jr.'s wife, Tony Stark's wife, and then you've got
she doesn't try to sell you anything. There's goop products.
There's a couple of crystals for $199.99 that could probably help you out.
Egg, and she's not trying to sell that egg, is she? Because
that egg.
Yeah, but when you think about it, I mean...
So she takes out Thanos.
There's a lot of intermission.
Bends over and starts firing him.
Hold on,
Thanos, you have the crackiest dry skin I've ever seen, Thanos. I can help that chin of yours. That's a problem area.
She's just bending over, just firing those eggs.
Yeah, I know. All right, come on.
There's no eggs.
Come on, grow up, Kev.
Game of Thrones is the one with the bending over and the eggs, okay? Kev, you know that. There's dragon eggs, and you know what kind of bending over takes place.
Okay. All right, oh, God. Hold on, I got to get this thing. All right. Well, let's. Gwyneth Paltrow, for being the goof of all goofs.
The goop of all goofs?
Yes. The goop of all goofs is a very talented actress.
Yeah.
Another Oscar winner. That's it's every amazing. Other scene. You're like, oh, there's Gwyneth Paltrow. There's Natalie Portman. Yeah. There's Michelle Pfeiffer. That's impressive list. Angela Bassett. You can't walk a step without running into an Oscar winner here. They all just put all their Oscars together and thrown them at Thanos. They could have knocked them out.
And before we stop this part of the presentation, and this will also end the podcast that we'll run here. Even though we are doing this live, and you could tell because I made a lot of mistakes. Did you say this is the best superhero movie of all time?
I don't think it's the best superhero movie. I think it's, I think you'll see some people saying that. It's hard to give that insta acclaim to a film.
Right.
It's one of the best. I would say it's the most emotional, the most emotionally impactful of all the Marvel Universe movies. But again, in part, it's because of all of the equity that we've built up. People have really come to love these characters. We've seen Tony Stark for 20 years now, Robert Downey Jr., Tony Stark, Iron Man, through these various films. Even Thor, Captain America, who's, again, a guy who was a World War II experiment, got frozen and then woke up. It was 70 years later, but he's still, he's Captain Steve Rogers, the all-American guy. In fact, Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark says at one point, that's America's ass when he's in his tight clothes in this movie.
The first Avenger.
I think it's arguable that Tony Stark saved Robert Downey Jr., right? As a human. Like, the character.
Yes.
This is a case of a character saving an actual real life, flesh and blood actor from himself.
Yeah, and his wife, Susan, who's from Schaumburg originally, also saved him. Because at the same time, because he had, he's got a grown son who's like close to 30, I think, now, but. He'd be the first to admit he made a lot of mistakes in early romances. He was with Sarah Jessica Parker for the better part of a decade before she married Matthew Broderick. But I would definitely say his career and his life, the combination of settling down, starting a new family with a wonderful woman. She's a producer. That's how they met, on a film that he made that nobody saw. And then the resurrection of his career, because then Sherlock Holmes and everything else. He was already doing well, too. He's now, insanely, insanely wealthy because of these films.
Because of Iron Man.
I mean, just You know, yeah. Step aside, you know, little Tommy Cruise. Yeah, I got the check. And a brilliant actor. One of the best actors to not yet win an Oscar.
Yeah, probably.
And he will one day.
I mean, I think it's arguably he's the best actor of his generation.
He's like, he can do anything.
Yeah.
You know, that's absolutely true. And you see different, again, not to give too much away, but there's a different story arc here for him that we've never seen in these movies before.
All right. Oh. Well, then he's worth the price of admission then. What is the price of admission now?
I wouldn't have
$600 million
clue. I do know that I got a bottle of water and it was $6. And I said, no, just the one bottle of water. And they said, yeah, that's... I go, $6? No, it's $5.99. I swear to God, $5.99.
Do they up the ticket price for these?
Special event films, usually if you're seeing it in the theaters with the fancy seats and the surround,
right,
sound
and you
all
buy
that
it
stuff,
online in
you're
advance,
buying it in advance.
Like
$20
bucks,
yeah. You can get up to $20 for a movie. Any of the advance tickets, you know, there's just like concerts, all of a sudden there's the fee and the convenience charge.
It's not like when
that.
I was 25 and my dad said, get on your knees and we're walking in here, we're gonna say you're 12.
Yeah,
still doing that. My dad snuck me into movies.
That's fantastic.
I mean, I was like 15 and he's like, all right, just tell him you're 12. Like, I'm 15. I go, I can't do that.
Two for body heat.
Right.
Kathleen Turner, what is happening?
Yeah, all right. Stay right here. Hold on. Let's, you know what we'll do? We've got to talk about the Robert Kraft story. We're ending the review now. Although if people do have phone calls, if they would do, I don't know, can we take, I don't know if we're even allowed to, you can't really answer questions. Really, can you?
Well, Anna could read the questions, and then I can decide if they could be... Because what if someone blurts out a plot point? Like,
yeah, we don't want that. No spoilers.
Right. Then the other side of the news.
Sure.
And then Robert Kraft. America has been spared.
Oh, okay.
A really horrifying
I was
moment
worried.
Here.
Are we
going to get one of those anime recreations? Remember, like when we used to see those, like the Tiger Woods thing, like the Taiwanese do, like that animation kind of thing.
Yeah, an artistic rendering of what happened.
Yeah, a little anime kind of thing.
Please no, even that will burn my eyes.
I know.
Just the thought in my own head of what this might look like when it was described by a law enforcement officer who's
really?
Seen the video.
Yes, it's been described.
It's just one, and that's just one. It's like a two-line description. It's not
really?
Even sexual, and you're like, oh, my God.
Ordered the Kraft mac and cheese.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Horrifying.
Doesn't even mean anything, but it sounds bad.
It does.
So Kim, could you? I just threw up in my mouth. Could you do the news?
Yeah.
It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on WGN Everywhere. Richard Roper is here. He just gave four stars to Avengers Endgame.
Nice.
If you're looking for one of those blurbs, you know, they like to quote the critics, here you go. Are you ready, Disney? This is my official quote. The best musical since La La Land. Just to have something different out there, in case you want to quote me on
that. Put that out there.
That'd be great. They reach out and say, hey, could you give us a quote? I'll just start saying that for every film. La La Rona, the horror movie. Oh, the best musical since La La Land. I think it's time for him to retire.
What is the best superhero movie ever made, in Richard Roper's opinion?
Rocky. Come on.
It's
a superhero story.
Kind of is, yeah.
That's a great question, Kev.
Because, I mean...
You know, boy...
Because Ro tossed that out there, we're talking about this one. I don't know.
I mean, to me, the films that have the greatest cinematic appeal and achievement, it's The Dark Knight. You know, the Christopher Nolan Dark Knight movies are the three best, you know, as a trilogy, are the best superhero movies ever made because they're so grounded in this mythic version of reality. Now, most people don't even think of those movies when they think of superhero movies. They think of Marvel Universe right off the bat. Or, you know, some of the DC things. But that's what I would say. Dark Knight. The first Dark Knight.
Those are my favorites.
Oh, my God. You know, now when you watch those, when you watch it now, especially the one, whichever, was it The Dark Knight, the one with
Heath Ledger?
Yeah, Dark Knight.
Yeah.
He pulls up the hospital in Chicago. I mean, it's realistic, you know, devastatingly realistic.
It feels more real. That's why I'm more into the Batman. I mean, it's like a guy in a Batcave, but it's like compared to somebody flying through space. You know, it's a real guy.
But it's only his suit, his technology that gives him this opportunity to be what he is.
And as are the villains. You know, they're twisted versions of humans. I would agree with you guys. Those are the parts of superhero movies and the superhero movies I like the best, even though the Guardians of the Galaxy are fun. Once we go into space and it's CGI and everybody's indestructible, I'm much more interested in when, like Iron Man 3, so much of that was Tony Stark kind of in a road movie with a kid at you know, at points.
The humanity, you know, of the characters.
And, this movie spends a lot of time on planet Earth in the real lives of these characters, the new and
But film. Isn't that what every great science fiction movie, the Star Wars entire canon is based on the fact that the characters were the stars. It wasn't just the technology. It wasn't just whiz-bang, space fighting.
No, it's a Western in outer space. Wow. That's how it was originally described.
Big Star Wars fan you are, Ro.
No, but it's true. I mean, they're outer space Westerns. That's how George Lucas originally said that, envisioned those films, which, of course, the great Westerns are High Noon. They're not shootouts every 2 seconds.
But you care about the characters. Yeah, and you see the characters are complicated. They're not just black and white characters.
You're absolutely right. No, and all of the great Steven Spielberg sci-fi films, if you look at E.T., it's about a broken family that comes together with the addition of a new child, basically.
Yes.
You know? It's the reason why Disney almost always kills off either the mom or the dad in these films. So you're rooting for them. And look at it, the beginning of the entire Batman story. Bruce Wayne is a boy, and his parents are murdered in an alley by cheap thugs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I agree. To me, like, even when you look at, Spider-Man, the appeal to me of Spider-Man was when he was just fighting crime in New York. And the newspaper editor, J. Jonah Jameson, wanted to find out who this criminal is. Not always, flying to the soaring to the skies.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I can't wait for this new Joker.
Yeah. Joaquin Phoenix.
Because that doesn't really even look like a comic book type movie.
No.
It looks like
possibly the scariest villain since Hannibal Lecter.
When is that?
Footage. It's later this year. I'm not sure when. I think in the fall.
So DC has to keep up here now, right? I mean, Marvel has run away. Marvel went from not being, from being the also-ran to now running the universe.
Yeah, I mean, for a while, nobody cared about Marvel when the Marvel franchise was just laying there dormant for anyone who wanted to buy it up about 20-some years ago.
Right, it's just Incredible Hulk movies, people right? Because like, every 5 seconds, they're making another one.
Nobody cared about, those
WB
characters.
Spider-Man.
I swear to God. Yeah, I mean, I'm not even sure how she's going to make it. When are you going to go see this?
I don't know.
Oh, here we go again. Trolling for nerds.
Oh my God, I'm not trolling for nerds.
Did you hear that traffic girl on the road concert? She's looking for a date, guys.
Guys, this is my podcaster friend, Blake, from film/critic.com.org.
The Marvel Reddit page is blowing up.
Second day tickets at a discount.
You think we should go Dutch on the treats, though? You get the popcorn, I get the soda.
This is going to be... Again, I want to go back to this issue. It's hard to get tickets. You think, a movie, you can always find a movie. There'll always be some show that'll be through the weekend you can find your way into. The late night show, the earliest show. And you can't even do that.
I think our guy Brian was having trouble getting tickets, and he was trying to buy them online. That's almost unheard of.
Wait. What did you just say? 5 hours. Say that on the radio. Can you say that on the radio?
Whoa. Can I get you on the air?
Yeah. There's something you can do. I hear these other people on the air all the time. What?
Hey, Baba Booey, what's going on over there?
It took you 5 hours to get online to do what? Explain that what happened.
I got the notification through AMC, and they were like, hey, the tickets are on sale. So got online and was stuck in the waiting area for like 5 hours. So when I went to the gym and stayed in the waiting area, and it was about 2 o'clock when I finally got through.
And when did you get the tickets for? Is it Thursday night?
Thursday night.
Okay. So you had your phone on.
You did get through.
You had your phone on.
Yes.
And while you're at the gym,
yes,
waiting for the, and you
so
have
you're
your headphones
your place in line that
so
way.
Are you listening to the tinkly music like you went to listen to during the commercial breaks?
All of our circuits are currently busy.
No, it was just like a circular icon that kept saying.
Okay, just on your phone. You didn't have to listen to anything.
No,
just waiting for the thing to go through.
Yeah.
You are 47
hours. And what'd you pay for?
$43, like at those fancy seats.
Okay. Fancy seats.
Listen, for the 3 hours, nice to have that. Recliner.
So is this just for the premiere night people are, or is this like the whole opening weekend?
The entire weekend.
When did you get in?
Thursday
night.
That's the opener, though, right?
That's
theoretically.
But the entire weekend was pretty much booked.
It's so hard to get tickets. The cast of Hamilton has been waiting to get tickets. Now they know what it feels like.
You see,
this is my one shot.
Don't throw away your shot. The pre-sales, $120 million. Pre-sales insane. Alone.
Most movies would be thrilled to walk away with that at the end of the day.
Yeah, through the entire run.
Yeah.
The entire theatrical release, $120
Absolutely,
million.
Yeah. I mean, you know, even Shazam, which is pretty well, has made about $200 million after about, what, 4 or 5 weeks we've been talking about that. There are some other movies coming out we can talk about later in the week, and all of them.
What would be the point of that, Richard?
Well, I think in every single case, they feel, in some cases, it's probably not the worst thing in the world, because you feel like, well, people drive to the theater, they can't get into it. What else is playing? Ethan Hawke's in that one. He's good. We'll see that.
What? There's no number of screens. Do we know?
Oh,
for this?
I don't know, but it's going to be the vast majority. I think a lot of the multiplex is pretty much. They're still going to be holding over some films that are doing well. They're not going to just scoot them away. But
Raiders of the Lost Ark, is that still in the theater?
I think it's just left the last theater.
It says record number of screens it's released, 4,600
close to 5,000
on
opening
weekend.
That's a big number.
Even a lot of the big films, 3,500 screens is a wide release,
all time record. Mm-hmm. And plus some IMAX screens. I hadn't even thought about that. That might be a nice option for this movie.
Was it shot in IMAX?
No. It was not filmed in IMAX. It's not a 3D film. I'm glad it's not, to tell you the truth. I mean, the films that are actually shot in IMAX are amazing, and some films, hold up well anyway. But unless the film's actually shot for 3D, this doesn't need to be in 3D.
I have found this to be the problem. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you go see a movie in 3D, and you're like, I don't know. It just it didn't really 100%. I saw Wonder Woman in 3D, and I'm like, I know this is going to be great, and it wasn't great. I would have much rather seen it in 2D. The only one that I think really held up in 3D was Black Panther.
Well, and, it depends, too, if they're using the technology while they're shooting it. James Cameron, shot Avatar with the 3D, cameras. A lot of times it's just like layering on different, like you used to have those transparent papers that you'd put over a drawing in different colors.
Oh, an arrow's coming at me.
Yeah, so they layer on that. And that's the other thing. A lot of the 3D movies, it seems like they use up all the D in about the first 15 minutes. Right. Somebody goes, "Why, I'll get you, Johnny Depp," and they throw a spear and it looks like it's going to hit you, right? And then somebody moves the glass and it almost tips off the table, and then after about 15 minutes they stop caring about that.
Get car sick when I go to see
Movies. it could be definitely a kind of a nauseating or unsettling experience and headache inducing. I'm not a huge fan of it. The fact that we're still putting on the glasses they put on those old photos from the 50s where you see everybody looking up at the screen.
I know.
During the
That's
Eisenhower
the
era,
right, the green red
watching
thing.
The swamp thing. I mean, you're still they're still not much better than Elton John's glasses in 1972.
Right. And it's 3 hours.
These plastic things you put on your
head. You're worried how dirty they are? Like, who wore these before?
Right. Well, I do think about that.
I'll tell you the truth. I swiped a couple pairs, so I have my own. Because they always, you have to, because on the way out, they're like, "You better give them back." And I'm like, "Oh, no, these are mine. I have a cataract."
Well, what is
special 3D?
I do. I stole a couple pair.
Yeah.
And it says property of this and that on the side.
Do you need a doctor's note? Because we can get that for you.
They won't fold because they don't want you to steal them. So I tried to, slip them into my pocket. Uh-huh. And then,
that's the roper?
Exactly. How much did you like this film?
These are mine. I look like,
Scarlett Johansson really works for you, huh?
George Costanza's dad now. Walking around Florida with those on.
You put them in the box, right? You walk by the box. You put them in the box. Right. And then there's, some other guy who's just taking them all out and putting them back in plastic.
Right. It's either cleaning them or anything.
There's no cleaning involved. Yeah, there's absolutely
give
zero.
Give me a break. Yeah. So even if they put them in that plastic, ooh, these must be new. I just shrink wrapped them up again.
And you think that
smudgy. Sometimes they're all smudgy when you get them. Tan them back.
Ew. Guy with buttery fingers.
It touches your hair and scalp, too.
Even Robert Kraft wouldn't even wear one of those glasses.
Nice transition. We do have Robert Kraft news.
Oh, will the tape be in 3D?
Did you say Robert Kraft nudes or news?
Kind of both.
Is he the latest?
Stay tuned.
Okay.
In 2 minutes, we will share. Exactly 2 minutes.
Okay.
We will share the latest on Robert Kraft. And I just want to say this, that I feel unsettled in America. I think we all do. We're just not quite sure what we're looking at anymore. Gosh. It's all crazy. You got Donald Trump on one side. You got Bernie Sanders with a disheveled hair last night. Did you see this?
Mm-hmm.
At the CNN thing? He didn't even comb his hair before he came out. He looked. It was like, when Grandpa shows up at Thanksgiving dinner, and you're like, "Grandpa smells a little funny." Everybody goes into the kitchen and goes, "Why does Grandpa smell like cantaloupes?" That's what it was like last night. And then he's screaming that people in jail should be able to vote, which is playing right into the hands. Okay. It's like, you know what?
Yeah.
Putin wanted him too, I remember. Mm-hmm. They wanted him to do well. They were trying to help Bernie at the end.
Well, he even said the Sarnia, the Boston Brothers, the Boston Bomber should vote.
That's gonna be a tough one for a campaign slogan.
Yeah,
the
and
Boston
Roof.
Marathon Bomber should vote.
Sarnia wasn't an American citizen though.
Yeah, that's there.
He was?
Sure.
They were?
Yeah,
the
Sarnia.
One's gone, the other one's in prison.
They used to go back and forth, but they were
All right.
Well, think of all the others, you know, all the other notorious killers and unknown killers.
Well, he mentioned Dylann Roof as well, who's really...
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. And such a
name dropper.
Yeah.
That's good.
What is he doing? What is he thinking? Why would he... What is wrong? Well, actually, the only guy who made any sense last night is that Mayor Pete guy from
Buttigieg.
Yeah, from Notre Dame.
After everybody asked him a question, they followed it with, "Did I pronounce your name correctly?" He goes, "Yes, you did. Thank you. Please proceed with the question." Nobody knew how to say his name.
It's very hard.
Mr. Buttigieg.
Everybody calls him Mayor Pete. Well, half the candidates they had to put out a pronouncer for him, for reporters even.
Yeah, he put him on
half
signs.
Of the candidates out there. People are like, wait a minute, is it? Kumala, Kamala.
It's Trump trying to say this guy's name.
I know.
I have an American name. I don't have a gay name. That's a gay name.
You know.
The gays have their own names.
You know exactly what Trump's going to do here.
Oh, you do.
He's going to call. Yeah, Freudian slip, right?
No, well, the first four letters is just he's going to play with that. I mean, let's just be honest.
As I like to call him,
Buddy Butt.
Buddy, Mr. Butt.
He will.
Mr. Buddy Butt. Mayor Buddy Butt.
His nicknames are so
clever. I think we know what I mean by that.
The Butthead.
Oh my God!
Oh jeez!
It's gonna be ugly. But you know the interesting thing. I know we're gonna get to Robert Kraft in just a moment, but let me just seize on this for a second because we were. I got home. I just turned on the TV. I'm making dinner. And it's like on in the background. I'm just paying that much attention to it. And we're done with the Klobuchar from Minnesota. And she just seemed angry. I don't know. She's constantly looking at, I think it was Anderson Cooper, like, why'd you ask me that question?
Isn't she the one that sometimes had the temper issues?
Throwing things
at the staff.
Kamala Harris, I didn't get to see.
Well, Kamala Harris was very wishy-washy with the lawyer. She said, well, we'll have a conversation about that.
That's the new thing.
Where do you stand on reparations? We'll talk about that.
We're going to have a conversation.
She seems like she'd be a good mom on a sitcom episode, just like a soothing presence, but not necessarily a president, sorry.
And then crazy freaking Bernie Sanders gets up there and he's like, I just want to tell you one thing. These people in prison, they are serving their sentence to humanity and they should be allowed to vote anytime they want to vote. I believe I have lint in my mouth. Would you know this? By the way, is there any chance, Chris Cuomo, that you have a comb? You're like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
When you go to visit someone in the home and there's the one guy that's claiming that the attendants are trying to murder him, he's the guy.
She's the one trying to kill me last night. She took my dentures and she took my glasses. It's a Jamaican one. Yeah. The Jamaican one took them.
I don't know what you're saying, man. You're crazy, man. Every time. It's too soon.
It's really bad.
It's not.
It's
like
really
right
bad. And then Mayor Petey Buttigieg gets up there.
That's what he is. Mayor Buttigieg. That's what it is. You gotta call him Mayor Buttigieg.
Buttigieg, yeah. Gets up there and he starts speaking French, right, fluently.
Oh my gosh.
For reasons that are still unclear to all of us.
Six languages.
Right. But the problem with him is, first of all, he does. He looks like a guy that gets booked a lot around St. Patrick's Day to show up in like a leprechaun outfit. He's got the sort of like the red cheeks. Did he go to Notre Dame?
Did he have a leprechaun pass?
Was he the leprechaun? Because he's got that sort of look about him.
Like Harvard.
That was just one of his safety schools.
Yeah, right.
Annoying.
I think you have to be a certain height to be the leprechaun.
I think he's it. That's true. Though. I think that's what he is. He's like leprechaun built leprechaun size.
Mayor Pete.
But he seems like he's really smart, but he seems like a professor. He's like the cool, either like history teacher from high school or like one of those like 100 level professors in college. And then when he starts talking, there's a moment where you're like, I don't follow Mr. Hand. You want to like raise your, you want to like raise your hand and go, hey, could you repeat that? Cause he gets a little complicated. And I'm like, he reminds me a lot of the way Barack Obama came off when he first started.
He was very wonky with khakis and everything.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
People are like, although I think Beto wants to shove him in a locker because he lost his cool approach.
He totally did.
He lost his cool guy status among all the candidates.
Right. Now he looks old next to Buttigieg.
Driving around his Dodge Charger, singing along to Sister Christian. Hope they get a viral video of this, man. Remember how cool I was when I air drummed to In the Air Tonight?
Put him back on his skateboard.
2%. Can't believe I got 2%. He's like every James Spader character in all those 80s movies. Picking on Andrew McCarthy. happened to that? Man, that comet flamed out.
Yeah. So, I don't know. And, Buttigieg he's got 15% now.
Yeah.
Did you see that in New Hampshire? Yeah.
Although, they're already getting the backlash where they're sending all the reporters there to find, the one homeless guy who says, I never even met him. He was the mayor of my city, and I never met him.
To South Bend.
Yeah, there have been reports like that. Some said they were forgotten by the mayor.
Oh, geez.
How can you forget anything in South Bend?
But it's like they're literally finding people I wrote a letter once, and he never even wrote back.
Oh,
so this guy in the street with tinfoil hat. Some here say it was a disappointment. I'm not kidding. Let's go get him. Let's find out.
Let's get the other side of the story.
In the Buttigieg.
Can I say that the thing that is dry? Did you see this? I got to bring this up now too. And then we'll get to Robert Kraft.
Never gonna give you up.
I know, but there was the other thing that drove me nuts in the news yesterday. I'm done with the whole, watching the CNN thing. And I'm like, oh, my God, the Democrats are just going to blow this freaking thing. There's not a chance. Look at these people. There's not a single one of them is going to be able to beat Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Right. Because Republicans in the middle are the ones who are going to make the decision here. The people who held their nose and voted for Donald Trump before are saying now, hey, you got to give me a reason not to vote for him.
Come up with someone.
Yes. Come up with somebody and I'll vote for him. I don't like Donald Trump, but I'm not going to just vote for any a-hole that you guys throw up there. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. That's basically what's being said.
Yeah. There can't be someone who lied about their 23andMe test. It's just not going to fly.
Yes. But that's the thing. The snowflake right, as opposed to the snowflake left, they're melting. Did you see what they're melting about right now? They are melting about Barack Obama's tweet on Sunday about Sri Lanka.
Oh, jeez.
That Barack Obama was offering, his condolences to the families of Easter, what do you call them? Easter worshipers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Those were worshiping, or Easter worshipers.
Yeah.
They're mad. They're mad about that.
Oh, because he didn't say...
Because he didn't say Christians.
Christians, okay.
And that's it's coded language. They claim...
Sure.
In the snowflake right, they're claiming that that's coded language because he doesn't want to say Christians, because he would offend Muslims if he said Christians.
I don't think Donald Trump said Christians, but he almost never says
Christians. Donald Trump, on Good Friday, said, and I'm going to quote him directly here because I can, he said bullshit on Friday.
Yeah.
Right? He tweeted that on Good Friday.
Yeah.
And then some other stuff. Going after me. Not very Christian things, right?
His entire existence is not very Christian.
Right. And so, and here you have the...
But they'll jump on that.
The anger out of the right is that Barack Obama didn't... He said Easter worshipers, not Christians.
Oh, gosh.
It's
crazy.
Finally, we got him.
It is
crazy.
Crazy. And first of all, Barack Obama hasn't been president in, I don't know, it seems like 10 years now. But it's like, it's crazy. Buttigieg is going to fix all this now. I think he's going to be the guy.
Sure.
That's our guy. Okay.
All right. And take a quick timeout. And then we're going to come back and we're talking about Robert Kraft. And a judge has saved the world. You think the Avengers is a big thing? What a judge has done here to save the world.
It was a different end game we didn't want to see.
All right. God, don't.
Stop. Make it stop.
It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis on WGN Everywhere.
Yes, it is. We're everywhere.
We are. And we got to, and I got to technically swear on the web, which was because I was quoting the president, so it worked out okay.
Mm-hmm.
Come after me.
We heard it.
Whoever it is that comes after me in situations like this. All right, and there's plenty of come after a number of times. All right, let's talk about what happened with Robert Kraft today.
Let's do it.
A judge has sealed the video of Robert Kraft getting the extra.
Really?
Yes.
The Bobby K special.
Right.
So it exists for sure.
Right.
But we're not going to see it.
Or not for now.
You know what would be fun? If you actually called it the handoff.
Wow, geez.
Put it right on the menu right there. It is...
Judge, I just went blind of the Greater District Court. Back
pain
and
glasses. I don't want to see it. I saw it. I don't want to see it. I cannot see it. Oh, dear God. They've sealed the video because they actually, it's interesting the reason that they've chosen that the judge is invoking the fair trial rule.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That this could prejudice a jury. Mm-hmm. Not to mention absolutely make them vomit. Then that's a good thing. And if the community saw this, how would you be able to find a single member of the community who's seen this who would think that Robert K. Kraft or J. Kraft or whatever his name is innocent of it?
Well, whatever it is. Does the video show the actual act from your sources?
Yes,
so, why is he pleading that he didn't do this?
Sealing point of view,
that's
right?
A great point. I mean,
sealing point of view, is that what it is?
That's what I heard.
It's
not the best.
Okay, here's what the video shows. It is the camera is placed in the ceiling by very industrious federal agents.
That's right.
And Robert rolls over. He's on his back on the massage table, and he puts his hand, clasps his hands behind his head.
Okay. Gotta get comfortable.
Is he wearing a towel? Has he got a towel? Towel or no towel?
No, I don't think there's a towel.
No towel.
I think it's fairly
visible. Yeah, I think we see the whole act going on. And there are two women.
There's
two women involved in this.
What do they call that? Is there a name for that?
Foursome.
Moral support.
Hold my hand while I hold his.
Yeah.
I thought
on the menu maybe at the place. The Flaming Orchid? What was the place called? Orchids of Asia. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, a woman
has
been charged today. You had this in your sports, Kev, because
that's sports.
The only time that we can work this sports,
sports right there.
Now.
Did you ever think in sports you'd be covering?
Yeah.
Ming Bin, what was her name?
So we've got Ming Bi. We've got Ming Bi and Lei Wang.
Or maybe we're charged with.
Right.
Now Shen Ming Bi and Lei Wang.
Right. Lei Wang is Lei the other Wang. Woman who has been charged.
Second round draft choice of the Patriots in 2007.
Hard hitting
safety.
Slipped
right by everybody. Wait a minute, what? Well, we didn't have any needs really on offense or defense. So,
so we've heard therapist. Lei Wang.
So they were charged today?
Well, Lei Wang apparently has been previously charged, right? So and today, Shen Ming Bi. Has been charged with this, and she's 57 years old.
58, and the other one is 39.
If you're Bobby Kraft, though, you know
they move pretty quickly.
Chickens.
They move pretty quickly because they show that.
Say what?
They're on video moving from room to room.
Oh, I thought you meant something else. So they move very quickly.
So in other words, they're doing this. They're busy.
She had 8 appointments within a very small period of time.
One of those Marx Brothers movies where the doors are flying open and closed all the time.
Right.
Betty Hill.
Apparently, she dressed him afterwards.
Oh, that's well, you know,
that's
needs a little help.
A nursing home? What do you mean he dressed
those socks with the garters on them? Those old guy socks? You know, those Rodney Dangerfield socks?
I help you with this.
Well, they want to get him out of there.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Well, they got to be really good. I mean, fast, right?
Because soft hands, lotion. You know,
you don't have to spend a long time. How was the offensive line looking this year?
Yeah, this is not right. No. And I don't think he's really interested in a long experience either.
No, he had to get to the Chiefs game, right? I mean, he had to get on a plane.
He was on the way.
You know, they got barbecue in Kansas City. Save something for after the plane ride. Something to look forward to, right? Game day like that. I mean, geez, that was the most amazing thing. What is Bobby Kraft 70?
Oh, I think older than that. Isn't he 77?
Yeah. And on the morning of a game like that, right?
His tent.
I stop at Starbucks on the way to the airport, maybe. You know, well, but geez.
He stopped the night before and then the morning
That's what I'm saying.
Right? So he had the two appointments. Apparently, not only is a minute-by-minute account of what is on this tape already out there, but it's being shopped somehow. Somebody's got...
Yeah, it got leaked.
It got leaked.
It's gonna in this day and age with all that horrible stuff.
You know,
with all the leaked cell phone photos and stuff, someone's gonna Someone's going to put it.
But I'm not sure. Do we? I mean,
who wants that?
Yeah, that's not going to knock the Kardashian sex tape off the top tier there. You know, all time bestsellers. You know, right. be somewhere next to like Vince Neil or
Hulk Hogan.
You know, yeah, Hulk.
You know who wants to
Hulk
see
Hogan.
It? You know,
with Bubba the Love Sponge's wife. That was a must watch.
That is awful.
Number 147 and falling on the charts.
God.
I'll let you get to it right now. I'll be in the next room.
Come on, sister.
I'm Bubba the Love Sponge. I was on B96 for a day and a half.
That's right, brother. All right. I know you're my brother, but you're about to shoot my wife. Listen.
Bubba Clinton. I love him.
Please don't make me look bad here.
Of all the fetishes in the world. Okay, honey. I'm married to you, but I want you to have sex with Hulk Hogan.
What?
Thunderlips from Rocky 3. So, to go back to this case, please.
Wait,
I need to know more.
Hold
I need to learn more.
All right. So we do need to go back to the notion here of this. The videotape is out. It's been leaked. Okay. It's being shopped. And you know that the president is trying to get it so he can put it in his locker at Mar-a-Lago.
As a prank. As a high school prank.
Right.
Still
God. Photos. Still photos of it in the locker at Mar-a-Lago. You know that's what's going on.
Robert Kraft, or two for one, as I call him. let me ask you this. The judge has sealed this tape. In other words,
for now,
but it can be used as evidence when it goes to trial.
This is
not allowing the public to see it because then you would not be able to find 12 jurors to give him a fair trial. Is that the point?
That's what they said, that it would prohibit his ability to get a fair trial. New York Times and a number of other news organizations, including those locally, tried to fight it, saying, well, he can still get a fair trial. We have videotapes all the time of people who are robbing banks, who are doing a number of things that are crimes.
We had
and
the Ossify brothers
out.
Buying the noose. We saw that.
Right.
Josie and Freddie.
R. Kelly.
Two brothers, right?
This tape was out there.
Ola and Bola now.
The judge kind of basically said today, he's like, he was sort of saying, look, nobody needs to see this.
Listen, I got other things on my
Let me explain issue.
We've all seen a trembling teller and a guy wearing too many sunglasses. We've all seen it. We know what it is. We get it.
I don't want to see this.
It's the most disgusting thing I have ever seen.
I mean, who wants it? Does anybody want to see that? Let's say if we had it right now, who's going to watch
it? Okay.
For news purposes, would you watch it?
You would, wouldn't you? No. Wouldn't you watch it?
I would, because
All right, hold on.
I've seen a lot of bad things.
The consumer... you worked with me for years. The consumer of this kind of thing is generally a guy, right? And porn, this kind of stuff.
Is that a category on like Pornhub?
NFL owner.
NFL owner. That's right next to, not really stepmom.
Not really stepmom.
NFL owner. The other ones have like 500 in the category.
Should be like old
cheerleaders. It's like NFL owner one. There's just one.
They're all reenactments, though.
Greedy old Al Davis tape that no one ever looks at anymore.
Oh, God. Just win, baby.
NFL owner. The least popular. Popular category in all the porn
Curly
sites.
Lambeau. Oh, that's why they call him Curly.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, the point is...
Jeez.
Here's the
Come
point.
On, people.
That most, men, like the Kardashian tape, right?
Mm-hmm.
Became a big deal because guys wanted to see it. And then women wanted to see it because they want to see what goes on with her.
Well, they both were extremely...
That's what made her famous.
Extremely good-looking people. I mean, let's think about it.
Well, Ray J was?
Well, he's extremely cut. I mean, he's a good-looking guy, I think. It's not
Anna's
like Robert Kraft.
Yeah.
Well, and then there was the
who hasn't seen the video?
Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson was amazing because he was steering the boat with his hands behind his back. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah. He honked the horn.
Three drumsticks.
Yeah. And you know what was interesting about that? As a connoisseur, I've seen the Paris Hilton.
Well, we're still on the stream here.
You haven't seen any of them?
No, none.
Lauren,
we'll watch that and then we'll go watch Endgame.
Oh gosh!
All right, so you got Paris Hilton, A Night in Paris,
right?
With what's his face,
Rick Solomon,
that's the
guy.
Mm-hmm.
Where actually hosted his own sex tape. He's such a slime. He actually said, now here's another time we were together.
Yeah.
He's actually the host of that tape.
And then he sold it? Did that we determine that?
Yeah, he sold it because it was the two of them. Yeah, what a guy.
It was the most creative use, though, of the low light filter and the infrared. That was interesting. But,
and the fact that she still would look at her phone at all times. That was fascinating.
I will say this, that once you see that, you're like, Paris Hilton would not be worth the trouble.
No,
not even. Yeah,
Like
no, absolutely. That's so true.
Right?
By the third chapter, please. You're like, dude,
you wouldn't
jump out the window of that $5,000 night hotel room. Yeah,
you'd
kick yourself out of bed.
You'd actually come up with a lie to get out of the hotel room that you already paid for.
If you see
the video,
it's true.
You'll know what we're
Every
talking
about.
Every
guy who looked at that about halfway through said, oh, God, she's annoying.
Yeah, I mean, right. It's now
it's like Charlie Sheen used to say, "You show me a woman, I'll show you a guy." That's
yeah. You're literally tired. 5 seconds into the video, you're like, irritating. "I'm tired."
She
of her,
literally right. is like, "I got to get this." You know,
yeah. She's not interested.
All right,
she's
so you're not. Going through the list.
I'm going through the list. So Paris Hilton, not a very good tape.
Mm-hmm.
The Tommy Lee Pamela Anderson tape is wild because of the physical nature of Tommy Lee, but she seems drugged in it. And it's creepy.
It's kind of sad.
It's creepy. It's sad.
Yeah, they're both, neither one was in a good place there.
No. No.
Now they're both 70 and doing fine, I think. I don't know.
I don't know.
Pamela Anderson is hanging out with Julian Assange.
Yeah, she's one of his biggest defenders.
But it is, a lot of these end up being more sad than anything
else. Yeah, for sure.
That's true.
And
well, this one especially. This woman's just going room to room, and this is just the job for
that's
her.
That's not
it's like,
sex.
Come on.
That's, yeah,
come on. True. But there's also, don't forget, there's other billionaires on this tape. They're all fighting to stop this.
That's the real sad thing.
The former head of Citigroup is
all
on this
is sad.
On tape. There's all these like captains of industry and like really, really important people.
That's how we market it. Captains of industry.
That's a good thing. Now, that's a good
Captains of Industry 1, Captains of Industry 2, Captains of Industry 8. Did you see it? Remember that one with Lei Wang?
She's my favorite.
In most cases, most captains of industry became captains of industry because they looked the way they look. And the only way they could make it to the next level in terms of romance was to become a captain of industry.
Right.
Get rich.
But isn't it funny how these guys are... I mean, it's like a stop. You go to Mar-a-Lago, you go to the pancake bar... Or the scrambled egg bar. Do that. You go out on the station. Then you go out. You play 18 holes. You come back. You try to avoid Trump because he's going to make fun of you. And then you get in your car. You get in your Rolls Royce. And you stop by the Orchids of Asia
it's
on your way home.
So, that's the thing. And this is the conversation a lot of guys have when this first came out. And probably some women, too, where they say, listen, I'm not saying it's right. But if you're Robert Kraft and you're worth billions of dollars and you want to procure company...
I've been saying since day one.
There are ways of doing it where someone could walk in will look like royalty or a movie star who does that for $10,000 a night or whatever and will come to the place. And could be in the suite at the Chiefs game and no one would know differently. Didn't any of these people see Pretty Woman when they went to the polo match? Vivian had the nice dress.
She
did.
And
the sun hat.
Well, then, but why would there be so many of these guys who could afford that?
That's the sort
all
of self-loathing
of them. It's not just
part of it. The cheap, sleazy, self-loathing part of it, I think. Or there's something about that they find exciting. Or the demeaning of the women or something.
It's
I don't
not
know.
Complicated. I think that it's the lack of complication. They're going somewhere. They can get out of the, the place. They don't have to, those people don't come into their home. They don't have to worry. They don't have to worry that their wife's going to find out that they were in
there.
Does anyone else think it's also odd that the sex worker or the prostitute, whatever she is, the 58-year-old woman, gets arrested and she's in court today, but Bobby Kraft is out?
That's ridiculous.
Like, why is that going on?
Well, he's got the better lawyers, but he already got arrested. I mean, he's been arraigned, right?
But especially in the cases where we hear that a lot of these women were forced into this or, they come to this country and all those kinds of things. That's right. Well, that's it happens all the time. It's the drug dealer in a certain neighborhood gets busted, on the street corner as opposed to like the North Shore guy who gets bonded out. There's no difference there. But you're right. It's not complicated, but in ways it's like it's so risky. You've got they all got Alfred the Butlers that could do that stuff for them. They could keep themselves.
Wait a second. What are you calling me?
They've probably been going for years.
Yeah,
it just feels safe because nobody's showing up at the strip mall
and it's the same
massage
guys.
Parlor, right?
It's the same guys. They figured that they go. Hey, listen, I got a massage, and they get nothing ever happened. I know some of my other friends. I think it cauterizes it for them in terms of their lives. Actually, it doesn't feel like they're actually hiring a hooker to them,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's just a thing.
It's a service,
right? Yeah. And
looks better on the billing statement.
Yeah, for sure. Right, exactly.
Yeah, I guess.
Right. Find something to do that.
Right. Remember, that came up, right? That the way, how it came up on their credit cards. It was like import export services or something like that.
Like, if he's 70 some years old and it's a choice between the 57 year old Asian orchids of heaven or whatever it is and just memories, I'd go with memories at that point, you know?
He probably is going with memories too at the same time. It's like, this is a crazy, it's stupid on a number of levels because the feds jump into this. This isn't about human trafficking. That's the crazy thing about this.
Yeah.
They've jumped into this, and I swear to God, I think that they were looking this. They scooped up Robert Kraft and some of these other people as collateral damage here because they were looking for something else, and they were looking for somebody specifically,
probably true,
who had something else.
Yeah,
and they were trying to. They were trying to. Because I do know that this has happened in federal prosecutions before.
Mm-hmm.
There are rich and powerful people who go through, they've done other bad things that you want to charge them with. And it has happened that the FBI has followed them to and bugged their girlfriend's apartments so that when they bring them in, and they say, here's what we've got. We've got you doing all this bank fraud. Yeah. And they're like, I didn't do it. Well, did you do this? Uh-huh. And then they roll that. Do you want this to come out? And uh-huh. that happens.
Okay.
And I think that's what was happening here. And then the next thing you know, they got Robert Kraft. And like, can you believe he went there right before the AFC Championship game? Oh, my God. We got to do something with this. And then there was some Dudley Do-Right in the middle of the thing that went, you know what? I'm sorry, we've got it. We're going to have to do something about it. Because this was, again, you know, for the first couple weeks, unfortunately, that we were talking about this, Anna kept bringing up the idea of human trafficking, right? Because it was, because that is a serious issue.
Yeah. Well, others were bringing it up. Like, their local reporters who worked there were saying that this could potentially be that kind of
a
case.
Right. But that's not, and if were it that, then we would kind of understand it, and, you know, there would be a bigger guardrails.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But that's not what happened here.
The feds were not out to save these women. That was never the point. Like, we're going to
bust this woman's at Mar-a-Lago. The woman who started the thing is standing behind the president at the Super Bowl party at Mar-a-Lago.
Of all parties to be at.
All he had to do was plead like guilty and say, I'll take 100 hours of community service and had to watch a video or something like that. That was what they were offering.
It
could have gone away.
Make a public statement and,
there'd
you know,
be no trial.
Yeah, it'd be a punchline, but at some point people would move on.
Right, they would. And maybe no video. God, that would have been great.
It really would have been great.
Kraft Services.
Kraft Services 4. That's going to be the... Wow. I think we get at least 4 films out of it.
Deflategate.
Oh, gee.
What time you take pill? What time you take pill?
Do you
think that's what they're doing? You think they're going room to room, feeding them?
Maybe. A little blue pill,
and then they circle back every, like, in 10 minutes.
Oh, no.
We done here.
Side effects could mean repeat visits.
Oh, my God. Or maybe it was one of those things where they gave him the pill the night before, and it never, you know, that thing with the 4-hour deal?
Oh, that's why he came back the next day?
I can't do anything with this thing.
Not go back.
Hell yes. I think we're going to repeat. We're not going to let that go to waste. These are expensive.
I wonder if they knew that he was, you know, Robert Kraft. Because...
That's a good
question. They're immigrants, and they might not watch football, and they might have just thought, this is just another guy.
The woman was at the Super Bowl party at Mar-a-Lago.
Former owner.
But the actual women.
Right, because when she owned it, it was a totally legit place.
I'm not sure.
But Andy, you're right. Like, what do they have? This running play, a handoff.
The handoff.
Quote masseuse.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, yeah. I mean, I would say they might. They like the fact he gave him hondos, right? You give $100 tip. They might have known him as like Hondo Bobby or something like that. They might not have known he was the owner of the Patriots.
You know, I got to just tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
As a guy who's given some tips over the years,
mm-hmm.
$100 doesn't seem like that's an appropriate tip for this. Like, because they literally hold his future in their hands. Literally and figuratively.
Or maybe, yeah.
Okay. Right? I mean, you want to make sure they're, and he's worth $1 billion.
But how much were the services on the menu for that?
It doesn't seem like it was very expensive.
Probably less than that.
Yeah, like, right.
It's like $25 bucks.
Maybe if he gave 500, it would seem like that would almost be too suspicious. Like, why is he giving us all this money?
Mm-hmm.
You know, hondo. I mean, maybe a couple tickets to the game, you know, third deck or something. Doesn't have to be on the skybox, but hey, you know, the Bills, you know, one of those games. Pats Bills, December game, it's the best I could do. Or memorabilia, little jersey. You imagine if they all had, like, Gronk jerseys.
Yes, show up for work at the organization.
For my son, can you give me Gronkowski jersey?
All right. Okay.
Let's just,
well, yeah, I think I always expect the players to misbehave, right? And look at that.
Yeah, right.
You know, some of those players just go, "What the?
This is our
going
guy
on here."
Yeah. Wait, there's a guy like Gronk's. Like, what happened?
That's, I gotta quit. I quit.
That's great.
I'll quit this game the day my owner. Well, all right.
What's wrong with that?
It's gonna be tough next time he's negotiating. He's gonna have to have somebody else do it for him. Can you imagine, like, some agent? Okay, listen. You're telling me that you don't think my client is worth more money. I'm supposed to trust your judgment.
Well, maybe the $100 tip is his excuse. Yeah. I only gave $100. I'm poor here, all right? I'm poor. All right. You know what?
Wow.
I'm leaving it here.
Good.
I'm leaving my career right here on the table.
I'm putting this up for a Webby. Is that what they call it for podcasting award? A Webby award.
I've already given you, I mean, you're the official film critic of the world, Richard Roper, and I just gave you three film criticisms of like stolen dirty movies. What is wrong with me?
That could be a service. We could.
Again, I watch these solely for the show.
Can you imagine, like, rating just the, like.
And Kim Kardashian and Ray J are the best. I would just like to say that. They did that.
Top marks.
The finest performance by two people in a.
Really?
And again, use of the low light camera also.
Wow.
All right. I think it's time now to tell you that we'll be back with you tomorrow on the radio at 3 o'clock. That's what I'm going to tell you.
Very different
God
show.
Willing. Yes.
Very different show.
God and Bob Kraft willing.
And that nobody in the management stream heard any of this.
Fantastic.
And now we return you to WGN Web, already in progress.
She give you everything you want. Long time.